Good afternoon and welcome to a beautiful Wednesday afternoon for baseball. We're here at Michael John Stadium here on the campus of the beautiful University of Pennsylvania. My name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside by Paul Augustini. Paul, welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
Today we find that the Penn Quakers are going to take on the Keystone College Giants. And first and foremost, Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you. I kind of want you to introduce the Keystone Giants to some of our listeners here today.
Okay, those of you who are unfamiliar with the school, they're actually a Division III school of over 1,650 students located in Laplume, Pennsylvania, which is about 13 miles north of Scranton. They play in the Colonial States Athletic Conference, which used to be called the Pennsylvania Athletic Conference. And they won 30 games last season and the conference championship, so they're a good Division III school. And this is actually the second straight year they'll be playing a Division I opponent. They played Bucknell last season and only lost by a run.
All right. Keystone comes into the game today with a standings of 11 wins, 7 losses. Your Penn Quakers coming in with 12 wins, 10 losses. However, four of those wins over the weekend come at the hands of both Harvard and Dartmouth. They started off the weekend with an Ivy League sweep. Great start to their Ivy League. You don't want to look past Keystone, Paul, but we have to touch base on this weekend. Just a great overall showing here by the Quakers.
Yeah, it sure was. That's the first four-game sweep in conference since head coach John Cole has been at Penn, and you always want to get off to a good start when you start at home, but 4-0 is a great start considering Dartmouth is the defending Ivy League champion. So two big wins on Sunday after two big wins on Saturday. Unfortunately, Princeton also went 4-0 this weekend, so it's only good enough for tie first place, but a great start all along. You can't do any more than go 4-0.
And looking at the Ivy League standings right now, in the Lou Gehrig division, again, as Paul had mentioned, Princeton and Penn both tied atop those standings, both with 4-0 records. You have Columbia in third place with a 2-2 record in the Ivy League schedule thus far. And in fourth place in the Lou Gehrig, Cornell with a 1-3 record. In the Rolfe division, you have Dartmouth, with the title alongside Yale, again with a 2-2 record. You have Brown University with a 1-3 record, and Harvard rounding out the Rolfe division with an 0-4 Ivy League record. Now, Paul, looking ahead to today's game, not looking ahead to this weekend's Ivy League play, Penn cannot look past Keystone College here today. One of the things that they really want to do is they want to give pitcher John Beasley a lot of support, Beasley making his first start of the season.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for Beasley to actually start a game. That's not his customary position. And they really shouldn't take this team lightly. Keystone College has a very high team batting average. Multiple players who play regularly, three of them to be exact, that are hitting over 400 on the season so far.
All right. Looking ahead at today's game, I want to give you the Keystone Giants lineup this afternoon. Batting first, second baseman, number 4, Esteban Melicic. Batting second, center fielder, number 14, Andrew Siena. Batting third, number 12, right fielder, Roberto Santana. Batting fourth, catcher, number 7, Brian Henry. Batting fifth, designated hitter, number 24, Ricky Espinosa. Batting sixth, third baseman, number 51, Fernando Perez. Batting seventh, left fielder, number 11, Sandy Vega. Batting eighth, shortstop, number 6, Edwin Padua. Batting ninth, rounding out the Keystone College lineup, first baseman, number 18, Frank Formino. They're going to go up against, again, as we stated, pitcher John Beasley. Beasley coming into this game with a 7.50 ERA, a 0 wins, 1 loss record. This will be his 11th appearance. He has, again, as we stated, not started a game. He has 12 innings pitched. He's allowed 16 hits, allowed 11 runs, 10 of which earned. He's given up 7 walks, struck out 13, and the hitters are hitting .302, a .302 average against him. We're going to be right back after this. We'll bring you the first pitch. Stay tuned here on the Penn Sports Network. All right, and welcome back here from the Penn Sports Network. Again, my name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustini. And we are here, again, at the beautiful Michael John Stadium, baseball stadium here for University of Pennsylvania Quakers. And just to update everybody, Paul, I just wanted to give a little bit of background here about Michael John Stadium, a beautiful campus here, as the stadium was dedicated in April 2006. It is the home, again, of Penn Sports Baseball. It is an 850-seat ballpark, which was erected just prior to the 2000 season. It does contain, as we're standing in right now, an enclosed press box, has VIP seating, beautiful sight lines, Paul, and in a second I'm going to ask you to give us our dimensions here for Michael John Stadium. But most importantly here, the stadium was named after William and Louise Michael John. The Michael Johns were remarkable supporters here at Penn Athletics and also at the university in general. And just as we say this, we get ready for the first pitch. And the first pitch by John Beasley here to Esteban Maličić. It's fouled off the right hand, or excuse me, the third base side. 0-1 count here to Esteban Maličić. Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'd like for you to give our listeners here some of the dimensions here, again, at Michael John Stadium.
Sure. Michael John is a grass and dirt field here on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. It's 325 down the line, 365 to left center field, 345 to right center field, and 380 to straightaway center, but that's a little deceiving because it's an elevated fence from almost the left field power alley to the right field power alley, which is close to 20 feet tall.
All right. John Beasley's 0-2 pitch here to Esteban Maličić. Grounded to third baseman Dan Williams. He throws the first baseman Rick Bremner for the first out. And the Penn Quakers fall off to a good start already.
Yeah, it's good to see Beasley coming out and throwing strikes. He doesn't want it. I don't think it's too cute. He's probably not too familiar with many or any of these hitters, so I think it's a good idea to just start throwing strikes, pounding the zone, and seeing what they have.
All right. Batting second again, Andrew Siena. He does have a 367 average. He has 22 hits on a season, one home run, 15 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .458. The first pitch he sees from John Beasley, a fastball, a strike on the outside corner. Beasley gets his time. He steps. Pitch was to be a fastball low and on the outside corner. 1-1 count here. The center fielder for Keystone College, Andrew Siena. Beasley gets his time from Will Davis, catcher. Siena shows a little bit of bunt there, takes it back. However, that pitch falls over the inside corner for strike two. The count now to Siena, 1-2.
And Seattle's off to a good start this year. Comes into the game with a 367 batting average.
So since you see that average is going to drop a little bit there, Paul. A breaking ball just cut to the outside corner from John Beasley. A strikeout here, and a very good start for John. A ground out and a strikeout. Two quick outs here for Penn as they face the three-hole hitter, Roberto Santana.
Yeah, good job. Nice balls and breaking balls so far from Beasley. He's finding the strike zone with most of them.
First pitch to Santana, breaking ball just outside to the left-handed right fielder. Ball one, 1-0 count here to Roberto Santana, who's batting 379, has 58 at-bats, 22 hits, no home runs, 14 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .438.
Yeah, Kingston's not a big power-hitting team. Not many players, but no one has more than four home runs so far in this season.
Second pitch from Beasley, just gets to the outside corner, 1-1 count. His third pitch to Santana, fastball low and in the dirt, blocked by Will Davis. So a 2-1 count here to the Keystone College Giants, three-hole hitter Roberto Santana. Santana looked at a beautiful curveball, just again on that outside corner. And Paul, it's a very good sign here early on. John Beasley really getting his curveball and his breaking balls over for strikes early on here.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to throw them, which is a good sign.
The 2-2 pitch is a fastball just outside. 3-2 count here for Roberto Santana.
Throwing the breaking balls for strikes, that means we can throw them at any point in the count, which would keep the Keystone hitters off balance today a little.
Santana slices one down the left field line, bounces off what looks to be off their team bus. So again, the count stays in 3-2. And just to give you the Penn defense here, left field we have Jeremy Moss, center field Greg Zebrak, right field Adrian Lorenzo, third base Dan Williams, shortstop Derek Vigoa, second baseman Brandon Engelhart, first baseman Rick Bredner, behind the plate Will Davis, and again, John Beasley on the mound as he delivers his 3-2 pitch. Santana kind of helped him out there, Paul. Chased ball four, high and outside.
Yeah, he was also a little late on that fastball, so. With two strikes, it's hard to blame him, but that full count, you're right. would earn himself a walk on that last pitch.
Yeah, he fouls it off. He continues to count to be 3-2. Easily gets this time from Mo Davis and pitches. Another ball slices down, foul down that left field line. So he's late on everything right now, Paul. John Beasley, how are you concerned if you're Coach John Cole, your normal reliever, one of your most steadiest, most reliable bullpen pitchers here? Are you really concerned about a pitch count? Do you think you just let John Beasley go? What do you think Coach Cole's mindset is here this afternoon?
I think he's going to let him pitch as long as he looks strong.
Just as we say that, Pensana hits one deep into the right center field alleyway. Greg Zebrak picked it up just at the base of the wall. He throws in the most cutoff fan, Brendan Englehart, and Keystone College here with a two-out double by Roberto Santana brings up their cleanup hitter, Brian Henry, their catcher.
Yeah, that was a real good at-bat by Santana. He saw nine pitches. Like we were saying, he was late on most of the fastballs, and finally he got caught up and drilled a ball into the gap in right center field. That's for the pitcher. I don't know that. Coach Cole's expecting Beasley to go real deep into the game, a midweek non-conference game, but as long as he's pitching strong, like I said, I think he'll be willing to let him stay in there.
John Beasley, the right-handed pitcher, now faces off against right-handed hitting Brian Henry. He's batting .446 with 56 at bat, 25 hits, 4 home runs. He, as Paul said, he's 5 for the team lead. He has 21 RBIs, and he has an on-base percentage, again, leading this Keystone College team with .483. On base percentage. The first pitch that he sees from John Beasley, strike right down the middle, so an 0-1 count here to the Giants cleanup hitter.
Yeah, to be hitting as high as he is, almost .450, with as many at bats as he has, close to 60 at this point in the season, you know he's really locked in so far.
Beasley's 0-1 offering, a breaking ball, just over the plate, a nice pitch here by John Beasley, puts the count to 0-2, with Roberto Santana taking a good lead off the second base.
And I think Beasley's aware of those numbers, too, starting with 2 breaking balls.
Beasley from the stretch. The flyer, 2 outside. 1-2 count here to Brian Henry. Paul, as you and I were joined last Tuesday when Penn faced off against LaSalle in the Liberty Bowl Classic, Will Davis did not play that game, a little bit of a leg injury. He came back this weekend, had a great weekend. Got to be good for Coach Cole to have him behind the plate.
Yeah, it's good to have the defensive personnel back where their primary position should be.
And the 1-2 delivery to Brian Henry. He sends a trickler down to third baseman Dan Williams. Williams comes up, throws. Rick Bremner makes the catch. So 4 up, 3 down here for Keystone College. And Quakers are going to come to bat. We'll be right back to third lineup right after this. Stay tuned to the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. I'm Steve Prescott, joined alongside Paul Augustini. Right here, we head to the bottom of the first inning. No runs, 1 hit, no errors here from the top of the first for Keystone College. And we'll give you here the Penn Quakers baseball lineup. Leading off, second baseman, number 6, Brendan Englehart. Batting second, third baseman, number 12, Dan Williams. Batting third, left fielder, the Ivy League Player of the Week, number 15, Jeremy Moss. Batting fourth, number 13, catcher, Will Davis. Batting fifth, number 32, designated hitter, Mike Mariano. Batting sixth, first baseman, number 21, Rick Bredner. Batting seventh, center fielder, Greg Zebrak, number 4. Batting eighth, number 10, shortstop, Derek Magella. And rounding out the Penn Quakers lineup, right fielder, number 3, Adrian Lorenzo. And they're going to go up here today against Brad Higgins, Paul, a right-hander here for Keystone College.
Yep, Brad Higgins is a senior. He hails from Nicholson, Pennsylvania. He's 2-1 on the year. He's made 4 appearances, all of them have been starts. He has a very respectable 1.64 ERA. In 22 innings pitched, he's allowed 17 hits, 8 runs, but only 4 of them have been earned. He has walked 8, but he struck out 24 in those 22 innings, and his opponents are hitting .210 against him. So, without being real familiar with the Keystone College Giants, I'm guessing from the numbers that Higgins is probably their number one starter.
Yeah, Brian Higgins, right, again, as we said, a right-handed pitcher. He's going to start off his day with the left-handed hitting second baseman here for the Quakers, Brendan Engelhardt.
Yeah, Higgins is not a particularly big guy. He's about 6 feet tall. At least about 190 pounds.
And there's Brad Higgins. Let his defense get set. We'll give you their defensive alignment. In left field, you have Andy Vega. In center field, Andrew Ciano. Right field, Roberto Santana. Third base, Fernando Perez. Shortstop, Edwin Padua. Second base, Esteban Maleche. First baseman, Frank Molino. Behind the plate, Brian Henry. Again, as we said, Brad Higgins, the pitcher, on the mound here today for Keystone College. And his first pitch to Brendan Engelhardt, low in the dirt, ball one. Higgins' second delivery is very well inside, again, in the dirt. Ball two here, and Paul, a good start here for Brendan Engelhardt. Takes a couple pitches, a little bit contrary to what we kind of saw in a couple of his previous games. He was a little bit more aggressive. Today, he seems a little bit more laid back here early on against Brad Higgins.
Yeah, you're really not sure how much of a scouting report the Quakers have on Higgins, so being a good leadoff batter, he should take a few pitches and let his teammates see what Higgins has on the mound today.
The fair pitch he sees is a fastball right down the middle for a strike. 2-1 count here, Brendan Engelhardt. Higgins got his turn. He delivers, and that ball is stout off just on the third baseline. Bounces off some of the left field padding here at Michael John Stadium. 2-2 count, the Quakers, second baseman. Higgins' 2-2 delivery. Fastball, 86 miles an hour. Stout off just down the first baseline. Again, the count remains 2-2 to Brendan Engelhardt.
Penn's first base coach, John Cross, almost made a play on that ball, but thought the better of it.
Brad Higgins from his windup. He steps. The delivery. That pitch again, a little bit of a two-seam fastball there, Paul. Down off the left field side. So even though this at bat may not go Brendan Engelhardt's way, we don't know yet, it's still considered a good at bat as he's getting not only off a few pitches, but he's getting some of those pitches. He's getting his teammates to look at those pitches here for a good start for the Quakers.
Yeah, that's for sure. As he fouls off another one, he's really making Higgins work here in the first at bat of the first inning.
This will be now the ninth pitch here for Brendan Engelhardt. So again, as we stated, a good at bat here to start the game. Penn Quakers really getting a good look here for Brad Higgins early on. Engelhardt sees the 2-2 delivery, hits it to first baseman Frank Mormino, who makes the play unassisted. 3 unassisted if you're keeping a scorebook at home. 1 out here as the Penn Quakers third baseman, Dan Williams, steps off the bat.
Yeah, a little indecision there on the Giants' part. Looked like Mormino was looking to shovel that ball first. His pitcher was a little slow covering, so he won the foot race to the bag. It wasn't that close.
Yeah, Brendan Engelhardt pretty much hit that maybe 5, 6, 7 feet just over to the right-hand side of the first baseline. Mormino makes the play unassisted. Dan Williams steps into the box here, batting an even 300. He has 80 at-bats on the season, 24 hits, 14 RBIs, 2 home runs. The first pitch he sees from Brad Higgins, the ball. The 1-0 delivery here by Brad Higgins. A fastball low, gets through the legs here of Brian Henry. So 2-0 count to the Penn Quakers third baseman.
Yeah, Williams has had a solid weekend when we saw him last time. He was playing shortstop last Tuesday. He's back in his natural position at third base here today.
Higgins is 2-0 delivery. Another fastball low in the dirt. So 3 balls, no strikes. Your coach, John Cole, here, Paul, would you give him a red light to give them the green light? Did you give them, if it's something right out over the plate, would you let your third baseman hit away here? What would you do?
No, I don't think I'd let him swing here.
Think it's a 3-0 delivery? Just catches a little bit of that inside corner for a strike, so a 3-1 count to Dan Williams.
I think the Quakers would be happy just to get Higgins' pitch count up here in the first inning, really.
A 3-1 delivery to Dan Williams is low and outside. So a walk starting in for Dan Williams. A good start here for the Quakers as they get a one-out base runner, bringing out their most consistent hitter and the Ivy League Player of the Week, Jeremy Moss.
Yeah, that's right. Moss had a great week last week. 5.71 average. That's pretty impressive over any stretch. Earned an Ivy League and Big Five Player of the Week on his little double dip for him.
First pitch, Jeremy Moss. These is a fastball high and inside for ball one. Jeremy Moss steps into the box, batting .427. This will be his 23rd game played. He's also started all those games. 89 at-bats, 38 hits, 5 home runs, 18 RBIs, and an on-base percentage leading the Quakers of .490. The 1-0 pitch delivery from Higgins is shot off down the first baseline, just over the netting here. A 1-1 count to the Quakers, left fielder.
As you mentioned, a pretty nice day for baseball. The sun's trying to peek out. The wind's blowing fairly strong towards left field at this point.
1-1 delivery as Dan Williams is running on the play. Second baseman Esteban Maletic was going over to cover second base with the right-handed hitting Jeremy Moss up at the plate. He sends that right through that second base hole, Paul. A great job of hit and run here called early on by John Cole. Quakers have base runners on first and third here, with one out for their cleanup hitter, Will Davis.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to the coach that Jeremy Moss hit 571 last week. That didn't stop him from putting a play on him. Like you said, Moss did a beautiful job of hitting behind the runner right into the vacated second base hole. Runners are first and third now. Couldn't have worked out much better.
As we said, it brings up Will Davis, the left-handed hitting catcher here for the Quakers. He bats .273. He has 77 at-bats, 21 hits, 3 home runs, 15 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .380. And just over the weekend, Paul, Will Davis collected his 101st hit on the season.
Wow.
He's one of four active Quakers with over 100 hits. Junior Derek McGill has 127, while Jeremy Moss has 130. Dan Williams here with 184. And Jeremy Moss just steals second base that easily, Paul.
Yeah, I think he caught the Giants off guard maybe with that attempt.
So here with runners on second and third, one out, one strike here to Will Davis as that pitch was down the middle. The second pitch he sees again, another fastball right down the middle. Will Davis a little bit late. 0-2 count to the Penn Quakers catcher. So Dan Williams takes his lead off his third. Jeremy Moss takes his lead off his second. Will Davis in the box. And the 0-2 delivery to Davis. Inside must be a slider. A little bit of a different call there, Paul. Right-handed pitcher, left-handed hitter. Slider. A little bit sliding in, a little too inside here to Will Davis.
Yeah, good job by Brian Hunter, the catcher, to get in front and block that ball. Every seeing, I guess, is to put make Davis go fishing there in the 0-2 count.
A 1-2 pitch here by Brad Hinger. Inside, it hits Will Davis on the right shoulder. He'll take first base. So, a very early jam here early on for Brad Hinger. He gives up an opening walk to Dan Williams, then followed up by a single by Jeremy Moss. And now he hits the cleanup hitter for the Quakers, Will Davis, bringing up their five hitter, Mike Mariano, their designated hitter.
Yeah, and when you had him buried in a count like that, he really didn't want to hit him to load the bases. And like you said, he finds himself in a bit of a jam now here in the bottom of the first.
First pitch that Mike Mariano sees from Brad Higgins, a fastball right down the middle, 0-1 count. Mike Mariano got into his first game action of the season after overcoming injury on Saturday. His first at batting got a hit. Thus far on the season, he's batting a .154. He has 13 at bats, 2 hits, 1 RBI, and an on-base percentage again of .154, Paul.
Yeah, he's definitely a little behind where his teammates are at this point, just getting into the lineup recently. Missed out on those games they played when they were on spring break and the trip, but still plenty of time left in the season, particularly the Ivy season, so I expect him to pick it up as the year progresses.
Second pitch he sees is a ball inside, 1-1 count here to Mike Mariano. Brad Higgins' third delivery is a slider outside. 2-1 count here to Mike Mariano, who steps into the box with the bases loaded. Again, Dan Williams on third base, Jeremy Moss on second, Will Davis on first, and a 2-1 delivery here from Keystone College pitcher Brad Higgins. Right down the middle. Good hit by Mike Mariano. He sends that just past third base from Fernando Perez. That's going to play two hitters here. That'll be a one-out double for Mike Mariano. Runners on second and third. And a good hit by Mike Mariano. Nice piece of hitting. Just waited on that ball. Sends it right down third base line. Gets it in the left field. Two runs scored. A good start here, Paul, for the Quakers.
Yeah, it sure was a good piece of hitting. He waited till he got a pitch he liked, and he didn't miss a hard ground ball just inside the third base bag and got the two runs home and two more runners in scoring position.
That'll bring up their sixth hitter. First baseman, Rick Bredner, puts him in the box, batting 272, 81 at bat, 22 hits, 10 RBIs, and one home run. I believe we viewed that just over last week, Paul. I think that was last Tuesday. And an on-base percentage of .310. The first pitch that he sees from Brad Higgins is a strike on the inside corner, 0-1 count. He sees an inside fastball. He smacks the second baseman, Esteban Maladic. He throws over to first base, so he gets a second out. But more importantly, Paul, the runner on that play, Will Davis, is able to score from third. So a good piece of small ball hitting there by Rick Bredner. Does it very simply, gets that run across. Quakers now have a 3-0 lead with a runner on third base stepping into the box, Greg Zebrak.
Yeah, Bredner did a real nice job. Did not try to do too much that a ball he could handle. Knew he was going to pull it on the ground and got the run home.
Zebrak lays down a bunt on the first pitch that he sees. That's going to score Mike Mariano, and Greg Zebrak is safe on the play, so he catches Keystone College third baseman Fernando Perez off guard, leaves that bunt right down the third base line, stays fair. Good piece of just transitioning runs here early on here for the Quakers. Greg Zebrak safe on first base with a 4-0 lead here early on for Penn.
Yeah, that was really a good bunt. Fernando Perez was playing very deep at third base and caught him completely off guard. He did not react to that bunt really at all, and Zebrak beat it out easily.
That brings up Darius McCoa, the Penn Quaker shortstop. The first pitch he sees a two-seam fastball on the outside corner. Just missed it. It's called a ball. 0-1 count to Darius McCoa as he steps into the box batting 296, 81 at bat, 24 hits, one home run, 15 RBIs, and a .345 on base percentage. As the second pitch he sees is a ball low and on a play, Greg Zebrak steals second base. A low throw there from catcher Brian Henry. He bounces in the shortstop Edwin Padua. So Penn Quakers being very aggressive here early on, Paul. A great start here for Penn. Coach John Cole's got to be happy early on with this team's offensive output.
Yeah, they sure have been aggressive in the start. Other than Englehart, he took a lot of pitches, let his teammates see what the pitcher had. Now they've been aggressive at the plate, on the bases.
The 2-0 pitch, Derek Sabella, looked a little bit low, a fastball. However, called a strike by the home plate umpire. 2-1 count to Derek Sabella. Greg Zebrak taking a decent lead off of second base. And a 2-1 delivery to Derek Sabella, low. Ball three. The 3-1 count here to Derek Sabella. Greg Zebrak again takes a nice size lead. A little bit interesting, Paul. You're seeing shortstop Edwin Padua cover him with the right-handed hitting Derek Sabella, more so than second baseman Esteban Maladic.
Yeah, I think they might have a scouting report on Sabella that he goes the other way. A lot uses off field. But they really seem concerned with that base runner on second after they've given up a couple easy stolen bases.
A 2-2 pitch to Derek McCullough is fouled off. So a 3-2 pitch. Brad Higgins' delivery comes in. A curveball. Just too high there. Walks to Derek McCullough. So runners on first and second now. That brings up your nine-hole hitter, Adrian Lorenzo. The Penn Quakers bat around. So an excellent start. And the two outs that you've seen out of the Quakers were productive. Yeah. The first one there by Brendan Englehart is he saw a lot of pitches, was able to get a good at bat against them. And the second out, Rick Bredner just grounded over to second base, scoring the third run. So again, Paul, great start here as Adrian Lorenzo steps into the box.
Yeah, it sure is a nice start. I don't think this is what Keystone College wanted. Higgins has come out throwing strikes, but Penn's been able to put the ball in play, like you said, and do it productively so far here in the first.
The first pitch that he delivers to Adrian Lorenzo, inside and low, ball one. Greg Zebrak takes the lead off of second. Derek McGill is taking the lead off of first. Neither one really being covered too heavily. Higgins gets a set. And a strike, a little bit low, looked a little bit inside, but nonetheless called a strike. 1-1 count here to Adrian Lorenzo Brendan Engelhart on the on-deck circle, waiting to get his second chance of the inning here for the Penguins Lakers. He gets his sign, he gets that. He delivers that ball fouled over the top of the netting here, behind home plate here at Michael John Stadium.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't been out to Michael John Stadium, there is a lot of netting because the stands are so close to the ballpark. The netting's high, and it goes far down the right field line and about halfway down the left field line.
The 1-2 pitch to Adrian Lorenzo. Low, 2-2. Paul, that looks like a pretty decent pitch. I won't complain here because I'm a little biased for the Lakers, but nonetheless, 2-2 count to Adrian Lorenzo.
Yeah, with two strikes, I think he would have been swinging like that, but he got away with it.
Brad Higgins seems a little bit distressed in his delivery. Fastball right down the middle, strikes out Adrian Lorenzo. Nonetheless, Paul, damage has been done. 4 runs on 3 hits. No errors made by Keystone College. A great start here for Penn early on in this ballgame.
Yeah, that's about what the Quakers wanted for this midweek game, something to keep them sharp between Ivy League doubleheader weekend.
And for the most up-to-date information on Penn baseball, visit the official website of Penn Athletics at pennathletics.com. Create your Quaker e-pass account today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. Fans can watch exclusive videos and get up-to-date information on all things Penn baseball. Go online, PennAthletics.com. For Paul Augustini, I'm Steve Prescott. We'll start real quick here on the Penn Sports Network. Quakers lead to Keystone College 4-0. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. Here in the top of the second inning, Keystone College sends to the plate, designated hitter, Ricky Espinosa. And the first pitch that he sees from John Beasley, a breaking ball inside and high, ball one. So, Paul, going back to revisit the final of that first inning, a great start by Penn. They bat around 9 batters face off against Brad Higgins. Not only do they see a lot of pitches against Higgins, but they hit the ones that were over the plate for the most part. They get a great start, a 4-0 lead early on here against Keystone College.
Yeah, they were patient when they needed to be. They let Higgins walk a couple batters. He also hit a batter. So when they weren't striking, they weren't swinging. But they certainly did their damage when they got pitches they could handle, did the Quakers.
And the 2-0 count here to Ricky Espinosa as he steps into the box batting 405. He has 42 at-bats, 17 hits, 1 home run. And he has a 479 on base percentage. The third bit that he sees from John Beasley, high and inside again, ball three. So a 3-0 count here. The 5-hitter for Keystone College. And the 3-0 deliveries from Beasley right down the middle. So first strike here to Ricky Espinosa. Draws the count to 3-1. Beasley steps quickly. And his delivery is high again and inside. So not a very good at-bat there, or delivery at least to the batter, Ricky Espinosa there by John Beasley. Most of the balls that he threw were high and inside. Not a good start for this inning.
No, Espinosa was patient, down 4 runs now quickly. Probably wouldn't hurt really Keystone College to just get base runners on and see what happens.
And that brings up Fernando Perez, the third baseman for Keystone College. Perez does not have a line. This is apparently, oh, I'm sorry, there it is. He has a 360 batting average. He has 25 at-bats, 9 hits, no home runs, 4 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .407. And the first pitch that he sees from John Beasley is strike. And the second delivers from Beasley, a ball, blowing in the dirt. Ball one, a 1-1 count. Beasley sets quickly. His next delivery is slider in the dirt. just short of home plate. So 2-1 count here early on to Fernando Perez.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does now. If he's swinging away, if he's trying to wait out Beasley.
His delivery is hit just inside the hole from Brennan Engelhardt and Rick Bledner. Engelhardt tries to make the play on it, kind of bobbles it a little bit. It's a very tough play there for Brennan Engelhardt. I'm not really sure if he had gotten that in time, if he really would have had a chance to get Fernando Perez.
Now, that would have been a tough play. They've already scored it a hit. I think that's fair. He certainly would have had a shot at him, but it was a difficult play. Engelhardt going to his left into the hole between first and second.
That brings up Andy Vega, the left fielder for Keystone College, batting .415, 53 at bats, 22 hits, 4 home runs, which is faster than the team lead with Brian Henry, 10 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of .458. The first pitch he sees from John Beasley right over the plate for an 0-1 count, one strike here to Andy Vega. Second pitch by Beasley, a breaking ball. Let's see a little bit of a swerve there. Catches enough of that outside corner that the home plate umpire calls it a strike. 0-2 count here early on for Andy Vega.
Yeah, I don't think Vega was in love with that call, but now he's down 0-2.
And the third pitch to Vega sees another slider. Again, a little bit low, a little bit out of reach. Vega offers at it, misses. So strikeout here early on for John Beasley. A good way of bouncing back. Left one of his first two batters of the inning. Comes right back, fires right at Andy Vega. Gets the out. So one out here. Runners on first and second. And Will Davis wants to walk out, toss this pitcher real quick, just give him a little bit of direction here as Edwin Padua steps up to the plate.
Yeah, it's the beginning for Keystone College, really. They got down 4 runs early in the Quakers' first at bat. Then they come back and put their first two base runners on base. So I think it'd be disheartening if they didn't get anything out of this inning.
Padua, the right-handed hitting shortstop. First pitch that he sees from Beasley is 2-seam fastball outside, ball one. Padua batting .212. He has 52 at bats, 11 hits, no home runs, 6 RBI, and an on-base percentage of .268. Beasley gets his sign and gets set. He delivers, and that ball is driven into left field. Jeremy Moss plays it on one down, gets a throw in to the cutoff Dan Williams, keeps that runner on third base, which is so key, Paul, here early on in this inning.
Yeah, sure, and he keeps the double play intact. Keystone really wants to take advantage of the situation now with the bases loaded and one out. Good solid single there from Padua, so he did his job.
Yeah, nice play by Edwin Padua. He sent that ball, line it just in the left field. Jeremy Moss charging in, plays it on one down. Got that ball in very quickly, and the bases are loaded here for Keystone College as their number 9 hitter, Frank Bonino, their first baseman, right-handed hitter, steps into the box. First pitch that he sees from John Beasley, a curveball that broke a little bit late ball, a little bit high, but it's called a strike.
Yeah, that might have been the most movement Beasley's had on a breaking ball yet today. That was really a 12-6 action there.
Beasley gets his sign, gets set, throws another curveball. Same result, ball, a little bit high, but it stops in there just enough for a strike. 0-2 count here to Frank Bonino.
Yeah, and a cagey pitcher, if he's going to get that pitch, that call from the home plate umpire, he's going to keep throwing it there. It's up to the batters to adjust.
Beasley takes his 0-2 sign. A slider just on the outside corner, fouled just down the right-hand side here, just over top the dugout for Keystone College. The count remains 0-2. And just before that pitch ball, I was going to turn to you and say, if you're John Beasley, would you throw one of your off-speed pitches here, or would you fire back to something that Frank Bonino hasn't seen, something with like a fastball?
I think he's going to keep it off speed. He has faith, I think, in Dan Williams to block anything in the dirt. So.
Just as you said, he throws a slider very well into the left-handed batter's box. So way outside, brings the count to 1-2. He was one out. Bases loaded for Keystone College. Ricky Espinosa on third base. Fernando Perez on second.
Have to stop doing that. I keep calling Will Davis, Dan Williams, 12 and 13. The catcher is Will Davis, number 13. Good block by him on the previous pitch.
Beasley throws a fastball just low. You can see the frustration as he started just kind of jumping up and down right after that pitch, hoping the home plate umpire would call the strike. Doesn't happen. Count evens out at 2-2. Beasley gets this on. He sets. Fastball spin in the right field. Adrian Lorenzo charges in, makes a great catch. No play at home as Danny Espinosa, or excuse me, Ricky Espinosa stays on third base. So a nice play there by Adrian Lorenzo. He charges hard on that ball, catches it, hits the ball in fairly quickly, keeps that runner on third base. Nobody advances, brings up top of the lineup here for Keystone College. Two outs, bases loaded John Beasley maybe being able to see his way out of this early on, Jim.
Yeah, he sure cut out. That was a nice play out in right field by Lorenzo. Ball wasn't hit that deep, but it was hit hard. No chance to score the runner from third base on the tag up, so.
First pitch that Malatich sees is a breaking ball low, ball one. Malatich's first time up, he grounded out to Dan Williams.
Yeah, a bit of a homecoming for this junior. He played his high school baseball right here in Philadelphia at Frankfort High.
Second pitch he sees is another breaking ball. This time he catches enough of the plate to be called a strike. So 1-1 count here to Esteban Malatich, the second baseman for the Keystone Giants. He easily gets his time, gets set, delivers another breaking ball. That's hit to Derek Vigoa. He goes over to second baseman Brandon Engelhart, and they just get Edwin Padua there. Paul, I couldn't call it any closer than to say he maybe got him by an inch at the most.
Yeah, you got a late call from the umpire, but I think they got it right. That was a true bang-bang play, second base.
So, Derek Vigoa sliding over to his right-hand side. He makes a nice stop on the ball. Not only does he make a good stop, but he gets a good throw over to Brandon Engelhart. The 6-4 putout that ends the inning for Keystone College. No runs on, I believe, two hits, no errors. They leave the bases not loaded as they got the out of second base there. So we'll turn it over to the bottom of the second inning. 10 Quakers coming to bat here on the Penn Sports Network. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the bottom of the second inning here at beautiful Michael John Stadium. Penn Quakers coming to bat here with a 4-0 lead against Keystone College Giants. Stepping into the box for the Penn Quakers, their second baseman, Brandon Engelhart. Brandon's first time up, he sent a ground ball to the first baseman, Frank Mormino, who made the play unassisted. Brandon Engelhart, even though he got the out, Paul, he had a very good at bat. He saw, I believe, what it was 9 or 10 pitches here early on from Brad Higgins. So, again, a good at-bat here. What are you looking for from Brandon Engelhart here in his second at-bat?
Oh, I think he's going to jump on something he likes.
To call. Just as Paul says that, he lines the ball just over to first baseman Frank Mormino. So, Frank Mormino, Brandon Engelhart, having a little bit of a connection here early on this afternoon. One out here at Keystone College, as that brings up Dan Williams.
Yeah, I just figured Engelhart saw enough pitches. He kind of had a good idea what Higgins has at this point, and he didn't waste any time. He jumped on a first ball fast play.
Dan Williams stepping into the box. His first at bat, he walked here against John Higgins and scored a run. So officially does not have that bat today. First pitch he sees from Brad Higgins. Fastball low and outside. Gets past catcher Brian Henry, so ball one. And a 1-0 delivery from Brad Higgins. A curveball. He didn't catch enough that plate ball, but caught a ball from the home plate umpire. Again, my bias ball. Show there as the count goes to 2-0. So Dan Williams with a little bit of a hitter's count here can kind of look for his kind of pitch or just take until he sees a strike. And he's going to wait another pitch as the fastball is outside. So 3-0 here to Dan Williams. Walk made the key here for Dan Williams as he walked his previous at bat. Now with a 3-0 count, you have to expect that he'll either see a fastball over the plate or just maybe take here. We'll see what happens. And 3-0 delivery right down the middle. Strike one here to Dan Williams. So 3-1 count for the Quakers, third baseman.
Yeah, the way Penn generally approaches the baseball game, I'm not surprised he was taken there, even with the 4-run lead early in the game.
Brad Higgins, 3-1 delivery. Right down the middle, fouled off by Dan Williams, just over top of us, Paul. So he drives the count to 3-2 here early on for Dan Williams, up against Brad Higgins, starting pitcher for Keystone College.
Yeah, it's important for Higgins not to get busted. I think there's a couple pitches he thinks he may have been squeezed on by the home plate umpire, but he can't worry about that.
Higgins from the windup. Steps. He delivers and that ball is driven fairly deep center and right center field. Center fielder Andrew Siano calls off Roberto Santana, makes a nice play, kind of had to lean over, made a little bit of a shoestring catch there, Paul. A little bit of miscommunication, it seemed like, from Santana and Siano. Nonetheless, two outs here, and a nice bounce back by Brad Hagan.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how much Siano called off Santana as much as Santana might have called yours there at the last minute, but he was well in the right center field, but it's a good catch for Siano, and two down.
Yeah, he gives this pitcher Brad Hagan two outs, as Brad Hagan is now going to deliver to left fielder Jeremy Ma. First pitch to Mossy, the curveball over the inside part of the plate, strike one. And again, as you alluded to earlier, Paul, Jeremy Ma, the Ivy League Player of the Week.
And that's a nice award. I think that's the first Quaker so far this season and get the Player of the Week, maybe the second. But it's thing even a little more when you start league play.
1-1 count here to Jeremy Moss as he sees the breaking ball. Looks to be a little bit of a changeup right down the center of the plate. I think Moss may have thought that was a little bit low, but nonetheless, the 1-2 count here to the Quakers left fielder. Higgins gets his sign. He delivers. Fastball, and it's driven a deep center field. Andrew Siano back on it. He's at the warning track. He makes the catch. So 1-2-3 inning for the Penn Quakers. No runs, no hits, no errors. We'll go to the top of the third inning. Keystone College trailing your Penn Quakers 4-0. We'll be right back here on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Prescott, joined alongside Paul Augustini. And Paul, just as we touched on a little bit earlier in the game, John Beasley, normally a reliever here for Coach John Cole, we kind of discussed as to whether or not how far John Beasley would go. We got our answers. Two innings.
Yep.
Here is Coach John Cole turns the ball over to freshman left-hander Matt Gottschall. And Paul, I'll turn it over to you to kind of give some of Matt Gottschall's numbers here for our listeners.
Okay, this is Gottschall's seventh appearance in his previous six. He started four of those six appearances. He's a 1-0 record with a 3.33 ERA. He's already pitched 27 innings so far this year. Given up 27 hits, 15 runs, but only 10 of those were earned. He has walked 11 batters, but he's also struck out 21 in those 27 innings.
So the freshman left-hander takes the mound here, Matt Gottschall from Marietta, Georgia, and the first batter that he will face off against. His center fielder for Keystone College, Andrew Siano.
Yeah, Gottschall's a tall lead pitcher, 6'4", if they have him listed that, and I believe that's pretty accurate.
First pitch to Matt Gottschall delivers to Andrew Siano for a ball over the outside corner of the plate with the right-handed hitting Andrew Siano, so an 0-1 count. As Matt Gottschall gets the ball and delivers quickly. The fastball again outside, this time called for a ball, 1-1 count to Andrew Siano. Siano is a junior outfielder from Springfield, Massachusetts. The third pitch that he sees, the 1-1 delivery is low outside. So a 2-1 count here to Andrew Siano. Matt Gottschall seeming to be working quickly so far this inning, Paul.
Yeah, a frequent starter. He works out of the windup when he can.
That pitch is hit to third baseman Dan Woods. Plays on a couple bounces. Throws over to Rick Bredner. So a good start here from Matt Gottschall. Delivers an early ground ball out as he goes up here again. Third hitter for Keystone College, Roberto Santana.
Yeah, at the point, if he gets into the heart of this lineup, to get the leadoff hitter out in the inning, so he can deal with 3, 4, 5, hopefully with no one on base.
First since out of his lifetime up as he, I believe he doubled the left-handed hitting Santana. Faces off against the left-handed pitching Matt Gatchel. The first pitch he sees is a curveball right over top the plate. Strike one here to Roberto Santana. Matt Gatchel gets his sign and he delivers a very late breaking ball. Gets over top the plate. A great pitch there, Paul, by Matt Gatchel.
Yeah, the Quakers pitchers are mixing it up. Fastballs, off-speed stuff, breaking balls.
Not a lot of mix-up there. Three pitches, three curveballs, three strikes, as Roberto Santana did not swing the bat once. Those three curveballs just broke them late, but they broke over the plate ball. They were good pitches. So an early on ground out, and now a strikeout looking here from Matt Gatchel. A great start to the top of the third.
Yeah, Santana had a real good at-bat his first time up. As we said, he was fouling off pitches, so he got one he liked, and he really drove one into the gap.
Matt Gatchel delivers here to catcher Matt Henry. Henry jumps on the first ball he sees. Home plate umpire has it. Third base umpire makes a call. Boom, run. So Matt Gatchel don't do that well. A little bit too often, he delivers a curveball there. The right hand is hitting. Brian Henry drives that right over the 325 marker there, just inside of that left-hand scalpel, to put Keystone College here on the board, as they're now down 4-1.
Okay, we have a pretty good line on the left field foul pole here from the press box, but not quite as good as the umpires, and we knew that one was going to be close. Late signal, but can't complain with that one. That one was very close.
I was looking towards the home plate umpire to see if maybe he was making the call. Did not realize the third base umpire was there. He makes the call, waves his one finger in the air in a circular motion, which indicates home run here at Michael John Stadium. Good hit there by Brian Henry. A nice piece of hitting there as the batter behind him, Ricky Espinosa. The first pitch he sees, he lines in the center field just past the diving Dirk Figueroa. So Keystone College battling here early on, by assuming they had the bases loaded, they weren't able to capitalize. They're not going away quietly here early on, Paul.
No, that's for sure. These right-handed bats now are going to look at a left-handed pitcher, so they have to like that. The curveball is probably not going to be quite as effective for these right-handed hitters, and got a real good pitching performance in the bottom of the second from Higgins, so maybe some momentum is starting to switch to the Keystone College side.
Again, Ricky Espinosa on first. That brings up Fernando Perez. The first pitch that he sees from Matt Gatchel, low and inside, ball one. Gatchel gets the ball back, sets, delivers. Again, ball outside this time, 2-0 count for Fernando Perez, third baseman for Keystone College.
And Gatchel retired the first two batters pretty quickly, and he gave up that long home run and the hard hit single. So can't nibble, though. He's got to be aggressive. Still have a 3-run lead.
His 2-0 delivery is a fastball. He took a little bit off of that. Catches the inside corner. So strike one to Fernando Perez, bringing the count to 2-1. Ricky Espinosa takes the lead off of first. And the 2-1 delivery found just over top of the dugout for Keystone College here on the first base side. So a 2-2 count to Fernando Perez. Matt Gatchel walks back to the mound. A little bit disgusted. He kind of wanted to put that ball a little bit of a different placing. Will Davis seemed to be set up a little bit inside. That ball was outside. So a little bit of mix-up there. Maybe just a foul delivery by Matt Gatchel.
Yeah, I missed the spot, but fortunately he got away with it.
Gatchel fires over to first baseman Rick Bredner. Ball bounces off of his glove. Does not travel far. Ricky Espinosa safely arrives back to first base. Two balls, two strikes, two outs to Keystone College third baseman Fernando Perez. Top of the third inning, Penn leads 4-1. Matt Gatchel delivers, and that ball is fouled down the left-hand side. The count remains 2-2. Paul, if you're head coach Jamie Shevchik, Keystone Giants head coach, what are you telling your team after a 4-0 first inning and after a second inning to where your pitcher really battled? You're now here in the top of the third. What do you tell your team? What are your words of wisdom here to your young Keystone Giants team?
I think you just tell them to settle down. They're right in this game. They don't have anything to, you know, they're not being overmatched or overpowered by any means. They can play with this team. I think that's the message right now.
Another delivery there by Matt Gatchel. Fouled down the left-hand side. Hit high into the air, but out of play here at Michael John Stadium. Matt Gatchel again with a 2-2 count with Fernando Perez. Ricky Espinosa, the designated hitter, takes his lead off of first. Gatchel delivers, and that ball, a fastball in the inside corner, driven right in the left field. Jeremy Moss picks it up, so now runners on first and second for Keystone College. as I will now bring up left fielder Andy Vega.
Yeah, so after retiring the first two batters of the third pretty easily, now it's three straight hits for the Giants, and that'll mirror the trip to the mound.
Coach John Cole walks his way to the mound. Will Davis will meet he and pitcher Matt Gossel there. If you're Coach Cole right now, what are you saying to Matt Gossel?
Oh, I think he's going to tell him to be aggressive. He really attacked the first two hitters of the inning. After that home run, I think he started to nibble a little bit more. Can't rely as much on the curveball against these right-handed hitters, but he still should be aggressive, and I think try to throw strikes here.
This weekend, the Penn Quakers travel to Yale and Brown. They have a doubleheader against Yale on Saturday, doubleheader against Brown on Sunday. The Quakers return to Michael Johns Stadium on Saturday, April 16th, to face off in a doubleheader against the Princeton Tigers. First pitch is at 12 o'clock. The first leg is a doubleheader. Second pitch is scheduled sometime around 3 o'clock. And then Sunday, they're right back at it again against Princeton. And another doubleheader, same time, 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock final. So stay tuned to the Penn Sports Network. We will bring you both of those games here from Michael Johns Stadium. Stepping into the box, Andy Vega, the left fielder for Keystone College. The first pitch that he sees from Matt Gottschall, a strike low and inside. So Matt Gottschall back into his dominating form. As the second pitch that he throws is low and outside. 1-1 count here to Andy Vega.
Yeah, as the Quakers work down towards the bottom of the Keystone College lineup, I don't think they want to give any more runs here and try to minimize the damage at one run, straighten those runners on base.
Matt Gossel's 1-1 delivery. Fastball about a foot off of the outside portion of the plate, so 2-1 count here to Andy Vega. And Paul, if you're John Cole, you know that your pitcher is going up against the 8-hole hitter. As you said, you have to tell him to be aggressive. As Andy Vega lines one, sends it right up the middle to the center fielder, Greg Dvorak. That squirts through the infield. That'll score a run. So a RBI single there for Andy Vega. A nice piece of hitting. He just took what Matt Gossel gave him. Sends it right up the middle, right through the hole. Now two outs with two base runners here for Keystone College. As the number 9 hitter, their number 8 hitter, Edwin Padua, steps into the box.
Yeah, real good piece of hitting by Vega. Like you said, he took a fastball and he just stroked it right back through the middle, just about the ideal stroke for a line drive hit, and scored the runner from second base pretty easily.
Edwin Pato in his last attack singled. So Matt Gossel in a little bit of trouble here. And his first delivery is sent into right field. Adrian Lorenzo trying to camp right underneath of it. He makes the catch. So two runs, when I believe three hits, Paul?
Three hits.
No errors by the Penn defense. We leave you in the top of the third inning. Penn Quakers 4. Keystone College Giants 2. We'll be right back on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the bottom of the third inning here at Michael Johns Stadium. Home stadium here for the Penn Quakers here on the Penn Sports Network. I'm Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustini. Penn Quakers leading Keystone College Giants 4-2. Stepping into the box, cleanup hitter for the Quakers, catcher Will Davis. He still faces off against Brad Higgins, the right-handed pitcher here for Keystone College. And Higgins' first pitch is low, ball one to senior catcher Will Davis.
Yeah, Higgins did a real nice job bouncing back after that rocky first inning to retire the Quakers in order in the second.
The next pitch here by Brad Higgins is a little bit off speed. Will Davis swings over top of it, so 1-1 count to Will Davis. Higgins sets, he gets his sign from catcher Brian Henry. He delivers, fastball outside, 2-1 count to Davis. waiting on deck. Designated hitter, Mike Mariano. Higgins gets the sign, he delivers. Will Davis again, aggressive swing ball. It almost seems like he's swinging for the fences right now. Swings again, over top of it. 2-2 count to the 10 clink for senior catcher.
Yeah, Davis had some good pop, but leading off the inning, I mean, a line drive single would be nice.
Higgins gets the sign, he delivers. Fastball low, a little bit outside. Good job of laying off there by Will Davis. So he drives the count to 3-2. Nice job there laying off by Will Davis.
That was a good eye there, laying off that pitcher's pitch.
So Brad Higgins, full count delivery. It's fouled just behind the plate here by Will Davis, so he stays alive, 3-2. Keystone College in their away orange jerseys with a little bit of blue striping on their sleeves. Penn Quakers in their home blues with their white slacks or dress pants or uniform, however you want to word it. The 3-2 delivery again there by Will Davis. He fouls just over top of us. Stays alive again. So, Paul, here early on in the third inning, you've got to assume that Brad Higgins is a fish kind of probably well inside of the 50s or 60s. Not going to go too much farther in this game, I wouldn't assume, as Coach Jamie Shevchik does have a very vast roster, so he can turn it over to some of his bullpen here.
Yeah, after the long first inning, Higgins came back with a quick second, but Davis is making him throw pitches out of the gate here in the third, so that's a good sign for the Quakers.
3-2 delivery again to Will Davis, fouled back, hits the netting just prior to us. So again, Will Davis staying alive. A good at bat here by the Penn Quakers leadoff hitter. Not only did he take some pitches, but he's also fouling them off. Again, giving his teammates another good look here at the right-handed throwing, Brad Higgins. Higgins gets his sign. He delivers. And I'm going to repeat myself here, Paul. Tell me if you've heard this before. Ball fouled just over top of us. So again, a 3-2 count to Will Davis.
And his next pitch will be the 10th pitch to your bat, so... But Higgins settling down in the second inning, this is a good sign. Make him work as the Quakers go through and see him for the second time in the lineup.
3-2 delivery foul down the first baseline. So again, another good at bat here by the Penn Quaker leadoff hitter in the inning. Will Davis places a good number of pitches here, as you just said. I believe that was his 10th pitch, Paul.
10th pitch of the day.
So
yeah.
A great job here by Will Davis, no matter the outcome of this at bat. As he looks at pitch number 11, Brad Higgins gets his set. And he delivers. Will Davis finally keeps this one in fair play. Third baseman Frank Mormino makes the play unassisted. Fielded that ball about 10 feet behind the bag, runs it over, and puts the pen catcher out for the first out of the inning.
Hey, like you said, it wasn't accidentally resulting to hit, but it was still a productive at bat for the pen catcher, Will Davis, and hopefully that'll help his teammates if we're coming up behind him in this inning. Was it a real hard hit ball, so credit to Higgins there for battling through that at bat as well.
Mike Mariano steps into the box list, and we saw Mike Mariano. He lined it one out, two-run double into left field, and the first pitch that he sees, he jumps on, sends it down the left field line, foul, 0-1 count for the Penn Quakers, designated hitter. Brad Higgins from the lineup. He steps, he sets, he delivers. Fastball low, ball one. 1-1 count here to Mike Mariano. The senior out of Monmouth Junction, New Jersey. Higgins delivers. Looks to be a little bit of a two-seam fastball. He grounds out to shortstop Edwin Padua. He makes the throw over to first baseman Frank Mormino. So another a good inning here so far for Brad Higgins. Two batters up, two batters down, as that brings up Rick Brevner, the Penn Quakers first baseman.
Yeah, after that four-run first inning now, Higgins has retired the last six Quaker batters he's faced, so he's getting into a little bit of a groove here. Maybe he had suffered from some nerves early on in the big stage, but right now, he's in control.
Brebner, his last time up, grounded out the second baseman Esteban Malakich, but it was a productive out as it scored the third run here for the Penn Quakers at the top of that, or excuse me, the bottom of that first inning. The first pitch that Brebner sees is a slider inside on the left, hitting Rick Brebner, 1-0 count. Higgins gets the sign, he delivers. Looks to be a little bit low there, Paul. Fastball called a strike by the home plate umpire, so 1-1 count here to Rick Brevner.
Yeah, the strike zone has been a little inconsistent in the early going, but it's certainly on the larger side, I would think, today. That's what I would consider it.
Higgins gives him a breaking ball that's going to drop in the right field for a base hit. Nice piece of hitting there by Rick Bradner. He just waited for that ball to kind of fall into the strike zone. He swung, drives it right into right field. Nice hit there by Rick Bradner to be a two-out base runner here for the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty important hit for the Quakers. They're still up two runs, but they didn't want to go 1-2-3 again here in the third inning. Like you said, Bradner did a nice job, kept his hands back on that off-speed pitch, and then lined it in the right field.
That brings up center fielder Greg Zebrak. Last time we saw Greg Zebrak, two outs. He bunted down the third baseline and reached base and scored a run. He bunted on the first pitch that he saw last at bat. The first pitch he sees, he swings at this time. Swings right over top of it. 0-1 count to the Penn Quakers center fielder.
Yeah, as has been the case most of the season, the Quakers batters are generally aggressive. Other than maybe at the top of the lineup with Engelhardt, they see something, they swing at it.
Right-handed hitting Greg Zebrak, facing off against right-handed pitcher Brad Higgins, and Higgins' 0-1 delivery. Fastball outside, even the count up at 1-1. And as Higgins retrieves the ball, he takes a long stare over at Rick Bradner, who had a little bit of a good lead there on that last pitch.
He forgot about him a little bit the first two pitches, so Bradner has his attention now at first base.
Now Brad Higgins throws over to first baseman Frank Mormino. Mormino not even able to apply a tag as Rick Bradner arrives safely. Rick Bradner here taking his lead, just splitting the cutout there on the first base side. As Brad Higgins gets the sign, delivers. Bradner stealing on the play. Catcher
threw down
the shortstop, Edwin Padua. Edwin Padua seemed to have applied the tag just in front of Rick Bradner, second base umpire. But again, another late call, as we discussed earlier, for a little bit of a flair for dramatic. A late call, he calls him safe. Rick Bradner steals second base. So he is now on second base. 1-2 count to Greg Zebrak. Brad Higgins, again, disgusted with that call. Now he delivers to Zebrak. Slider outside, so it evens the count up. It's 2-2. The thing that most stands out to me, Paul, not even the umpire delay call, but the fact that Brian Henry was about 10 steps away from his dugout and he had to come back. A good throw there by Henry, a little bit of a late call, maybe even a wrong call by the second base umpire. Nonetheless, it goes in the Quakers' favor. Greg Zebrak trying to make it count. Zebrak lines a 2-2 pitch in the left field. It drops right in front of Andy Vega. Good piece of hitting there by Greg Zebrak as he slides into second base safely. He'll earn a double on that play. That will score Rick Bradner. So again, as I just discussed, you want to make Keystone College kind of pay for that mistake. Not really a mistake, but you really want to take advantage of that opportunity that you're given there by your second base umpire. Good piece of hitting there by Greg Zebrak. He just drills that ball right down the left field line, drops right in front of Andy Vega, not more than 3 feet in front of Vega. Vega did not seem to be charging hard on the play. Falls in front of him. So two out, one run, double by Greg Zebrak brings out shortstop Derek Zagala.
Yeah, that was another big hit for the Quakers. That's not the first time this year we've seen a visitor's left fielder have trouble reading the ball off the bat.
Brad Higgins' first delivery to Derek Zagala is fouled on the left field line. Ball is a little bit inside, a little bit high. Zagala offering at it. Fouls it off in a 1-0 count, or excuse me, an 0-1 count for the Penn Quakers shortstop.
Yeah, and the Keystone College Giants have to be thinking, all right, it's one thing. We're willing to come down to Philadelphia and take on a Division I baseball program, but they're not getting a lot of help from the umpires at this point in the game either.
Magella steps into the box, Higgins sets, takes a long stare, and Greg Zebrak moves a slider outside and in the dirt, 1-1 count here to Derek Magella, the shortstop for the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, last time we were together, Vigo was actually behind the plate. Because, as you mentioned earlier, Will Davis was nursing an injury. He's back at his more familiar shortstop position today.
Higgins sends the ball right down the center of the plate. Derek Vigo jumps on that one, drills into deep left field. Andy Vega able to get underneath of that one, makes a catch just at the base of the warning track. So a good inning there by the Penn Quakers. They do one run on, I believe, two hits, Paul? Two hits, no errors, one runner left on base. We go to the top of the fourth inning. The Penn Quakers lead 5-2 over the Keystone College Giants. Stay tuned here on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to Michael John Stadium. We're in the top of the fourth inning in a baseball contest between the Keystone College Giants and your Penn Quakers as the Quakers lead the Giants 5-2. And Paul, a quick inning of work there by Matt Gottschall as Coach John Cole now turns the ball over to right-hander, to right-hander Patrick Brennan.
Yeah, short inning today for Gottschall. He wasn't completely sharp, but Brennan will take over the reins now. He comes in with a record of 2-0. This will be his ninth appearance. They've all been in relief. Brennan has a 4.24 ERA in 17 innings pitched. He's given up 7 hits, 9 runs, 8 of those have been earned. He's only walked one batter, and he does have 10 strikeouts in those 17 innings.
So Patrick Brennan, the junior pitcher out of Corona Del Mar, California. The first batter that he's going to face off today is first baseman Frank Mormino. Frank Mormino in his first at-bat, line the pitch out to Adrian Lorenzo. He's 0-1 on the day. Patrick Brennan, right-handed pitcher, delivers to the right-handed hitting Frank Mormino. First pitch is a fastball, low, ball one, 1-0 count to Mormino.
And the last time we were together, Steve, we saw Patrick Brennan come in when Penn was trying with Dallas. He was a big deficit. He did a nice job of settling things down and helping the Quakers get back into that game.
The 1-0 pitch by Brennan is a fastball in the inside corner, 1-1 count to Frank Mormino. Brennan's offering is a fastball low, 2-1 count to the Giants first baseman.
Yeah, Mormino's really been struggling so far this season. He only has 2 hits coming into the game and 28 at bats.
2-1 offering there to Mormino. Mormino shows bunt, pulls it back. Nonetheless, the pitch is called a strike. So 2-2 count here to Frank Mormino. Patrick Brennan gets set. Delivers. Mormino grounds the ball to Derek Zagoa at shortstop. Zagoa comes up throwing. Rick Bredner makes a nice stretch. Grounds the ball. A little bit high of a throw, but a nice play there by Rick Bredner. So good first out here by Patrick Brennan here in the top of the fourth inning.
Yeah, he didn't want to nibble around too much with the nine-hole hitter, especially one that's been struggling as much as Mormino has been so far this year.
And that brings up Esteban Melotich, the second baseman for the Keystone Giants. He is 0-2 on the day. Grounded out to Dan Williams in his first at-bat, and grounded out to Derek Zagoa in his second. The right-handed hitting Melotich takes the first pitch he sees from Patrick Brennan, a fastball high, so 1-0 count to Esteban Melotich. Brennan's second delivery of fastball looked to be a pretty good pitch ball, I guess assumed low. Called a ball, 2-0 count here to Melotich.
Yeah, it seems like the pitchers are having an easier time getting the high strike today than the low one in the zone.
2-0 delivery to Melotich is fouled on the first base side of the field. Rick Brennan makes the catch, however, bounced off the netting here at Michael John Stadium. So a nice catch there by Brennan. Won't go down in the books, though. Malatich a little bit confused, but I'm not sure if he saw it hit the netting or not. The first base umpire and home plate umpire are going to confer what happened. You can clearly see that it hit the netting. The netting was shaking. Ball bounced off the netting. Rick Bredner makes the catch. The umpires are going to confer here. And the first base umpire is saying he did not see it bounce off the netting. Home plate umpire calls the signals an out. So Esteban Malatich is going to be retired here. And the third base coach for Keystone, Larry Yerkinis, walks over to try to argue the call. But nonetheless, Esteban Malatich is going to be called out here.
Yeah,
weird play here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a question of ground rules or if he just didn't see it, but I agree with you, Steve. That clearly was off the net. Should have been a dead ball, I think.
But Coach John Cole will take it as the number two hitter here for Keystone College, Andrew Ciano, steps into the box. Ciano 0-2 on the day. He struck out on his first at bat. Grounded to third baseman Dan Williams in his second at bat. The first pitch that he sees from Brennan, low and inside, ball one. The second pitch from Brennan, a little bit inside. He fouls it just behind catcher Will Davis, so 1-1 count here to Andrew Ciano.
Okay. It has a case of home field advantage there, knowing where the screen was, because once it's off the screen, it's a dead ball, but
1-1 count, and Ciano drives a nice breaking ball in the right field, so a nice piece of hitting there, the right-handed hitting Andrew Siena just waited for that breaking ball to kind of drop a little bit. He smacks it into the opposite field. Right fielder Adrian Lorenzo plays it on one down, gets it into the infield. So two out single, for Andrew Siena brings up Roberto Santana.
Yeah, pretty good pitch by Brennan, but like you said, just a better piece of hitting there by Siena, went right where the ball was pitched and served it out to right field for the single.
I believe Roberto Santana is going to replace. I think this is number 12 for Keystone. No, that is Santana. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He's listed only as a right-handed hitter. This time he steps in the left-handed batter's box. A little bit confusing here. I apologize. First pitch that he sees from Patrick Brennan is a strike. So 0-1 count to Santana as Brennan throws over to first base and Luke Bredner.
I know it's a non-conference game for the Giants as well, but this would seem like an unusual time to start experimenting with switch hitting. So.
Andrew Siena has 12 stolen bases on 13 attempts. Apparently Patrick Brennan did some homework last night. He's aware of that fact. He throws over again to Rick Bredner. Siena not taking too much of a daring lead ball. I mean, he's even with the cutout, I'd say. So Patrick Brennan now with the 0-1 count. Delivers. To Santana, and Will Davis is going to throw down the shortstop, Derek Fugella, on the steal. And second base umpire calls Andrew Siena safe as Siena slid in feet first. Slid just under the tag of Derek Fugella. Fugella seems to tap Spino on the helmet, nonetheless, he is arriving safely at second. Stolen base there for Andrew Siena, so made that 13 stolen bases on 14 attempts, and a 1-1 count for Roberto Santana. Brennan delivers and gets the ball outside, 2-1 count for Roberto Santana. On deck, catcher Brian Henry.
Yeah, good throw there by Will Davis. Like you said, it looked like the goal might have necked the runner on the top of his helmet, but called safe by the second base umpire.
The 2-1 pitch, a strike on the outside corner, 2-2 count. Patrick Brennan coming into this season. Sorry, there was a little bit confusion there as the outside umpire. Patrick Brennan coming into this season, or excuse me, into this team rather, I apologize. This will be his ninth appearance. He has not started the game yet here for Penn, as Andrew Siena now steals third base. So a pretty gutsy call there, Paul. You never want to make the third out at third base, but a nice play there.
Yeah,
Siena takes the bag.
It's almost like he anticipated that ball in the third. He got a late jump, but he didn't wait for it, actually. He got a little, you know, away from Will Davis, who did a pretty good job of blocking that, but...
The 3-2 pitch there by Patrick Brennan blows right by Roberto Santana. Nice strikeout there by Patrick Brennan. No runs, but I believe one hit, Paul.
One hit.
No errors. Penn Quakers are going to come to bat here in the bottom of the fourth, leading the Keystone College Giants 5-2. Stay tuned here for the Penn Sports Network. I'm Steve Prescott, doing the wrong side, Paul Augustini. Welcome back to Michael John Stadium here in the bottom of the fourth inning in a baseball matchup in Keystone College Giants and your Pennsylvania Quakers. And folks, just to announce, the Penn Relay, the world's largest annual track and field meet, is coming back to Philadelphia on April 22nd through the 30th here at Franklin Field. See the best athletes track and field at all levels of competition, from 8th graders to Olympic gold medalists. Witness a true Philadelphia tradition at the 117th running of the Penn Relay Carnival. Tickets are available now by calling 1-855-U-O-P-6 or online at thepennrelays.com. And remember, admission is free on Thursday and Friday for all Penn students. Very exciting event here at University of Pennsylvania, Penn Relays.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that this year in a couple weeks. Hopefully the weather is a little nicer than it's been so far early in the spring.
A lot of great athletes visit and participate in the Penn Relays. And another great athlete here at that for the Penn Quakers, Adrian Lorenzo, is the first pitch that he sees from Brad Higgins. He bunts down the third baseline. Catcher Brian Henry makes a nice play on it to recover Adrian, or excuse me, to get out. Adrian Lorenzo here in the first, in the bottom of the fourth inning, one out here for leadoff hitter Brandon Engelhardt.
That was a real good punt by Lorenzo, actually. Brian Henry jumped on that quickly. That was a nice play by the Keystone College catcher there to keep the leadoff runner off base.
Brandon Engelhardt coming into this at bat. Going 0 for 2 in a day. He's had a little bit of a love affair with the oldest Frank Mormino. His first at bat, he grounded out Mormino, the Keystone College first baseman. And in his second at bat, he lined out the Mormino. So I expect to say the Frank Mormino. And
there we go.
He lines it out again to Frank Mormino. A rough day for Brendan Engelhardt. He's really getting good bat on that ball. He's just hitting it to where Frank Mormino happens to be standing here for Keystone College. Unfortunately for Brendan Engelhardt, 0 for 3 on the day.
Good advanced scouting by the Giants, I guess. They're all over where he hits the ball. Yeah, the first ball he didn't hit that well, but the last two have been solid line drives. He's got nothing to show for it, though.
That'll bring up third baseman Dan Williams. First pitch that Williams sees from Brad Higgins is a slider outside, ball one. Williams in his first at bat walked, and in his second at bat flew out deep in the center field at Andrew Seattle. I believe that was the shoestring catch that we called on earlier. And the 1-0 pitch from Brad Higgins is a fast one in the outside corner. 1-1 count to Dan Williams. Dan Williams over the weekend moved into second place in the school's all-time hit list as he tests Meat Mafi, who had 183 hits. Now, with Dan Williams' 184 career hits, he's just 10 shy of matching Nick Italiano's school record of 194 set back in 2003.
Yeah, you'd have to think if he stays healthy, Dan Williams has a real, real good shot at breaking that record this season.
Williams also fourth all-time in runs scored with 125 now, and fifth in doubles with 36. As the count is 2-2, and Williams looks at a slider outside for ball three, so 3-2 count with 10 third bases.
Yeah, it's good that he's made Higgins throw a little, there's some pitches here in this at-bat after he, Higgins was able to retire the first two batters of the inning for the Quakers.
Higgins' 3-2 delivery is a slider. And Williams hits that to shortstop Edwin Padua. Makes a nice throw over to Frank Mormino. A little bit low, but Mormino makes a nice play on it. Dan Williams is retired. So another 1-2-3 inning here for Brad Higgins. Seems to be, if it's an inning that's an even number, Higgins has a great track on it. Odd numbers, not so much, as he gives up no runs, no hits, no errors. We're going to go to the top of the fifth inning. Penn Quakers lead 5-2. We'll be right back here on the Penn Sports Network. And welcome back here in the top of the fifth inning here in this baseball contest between the New York Penn Quakers and the Keystone College Giants. And in the top of the fifth, we'll give you some of the lines here. Keystone College, 2 runs on 8 hits, no errors. Penn Quakers, 5 runs on 5 hits, no errors. And again, here in the top of the fifth inning, Brian Henry, the catcher for Keystone College, steps into the box. He'll face off against Patrick Brennan, who's in his second inning of work. Brennan works from the stretch, and that's hit to Derek Ngoa, who trying to make a little bit of a sliding play there. He kind of backhanded it, slid to the right-hand side. That ball's going to go off of his knee, not his glove, and shoots him in the left-hand corner there, just a little bit forward of the foul pole there. And that's going to be, I think it's going to be an error. But more importantly, taking second base is Brian Henry. Derek Ngoa, very, very slow to get up ball.
Yeah, that ball hit him pretty solidly on the knee, like you said, when he wanted to do his little slide to backhand that ball. Didn't get any leather, but it got a lot of leg. And yeah, that error was put up on the board before the ball even came to rest down there on left field. definitely have to get the error to get the runs to second base. That would have been a tough play, though, even had he fielded it cleanly.
And again, that ball shot in between third base and Dan Williams and Derek Figueroa. Figueroa went to his right side, slid, but as he slid, he kept his left leg a little bit back and tried to put the ball on the backhand. The ball bounces off his left leg, shot directly almost in the foul territory. It was foul territory, just maybe 10 or 15 feet ahead of that left-hand foul pole, left field foul pole. And again, taking second base, Brian Henry. So nice aggressive move there by Brian Henry, taking second base to be a leadoff hitter, bringing up to the plate Ricky Espinosa, the designated hitter for Keystone College. Brian's first pitch, a slider outside, ball one. Espinosa 1-for-1 on the day with a walk, a single and a run scored. Espinosa, the right-handed hitting designated hitter. Patrick Brennan, the right-handed hitting, right-handed throwing pitcher. And his second delivery is a slider, low and in the dirt, blocked well by Will Davis, ball two.
Yeah, Brian Henry's had a couple good swings. He homered in the second at bat, and then just hit that ball really hard off of Figueroa's leg.
Brennan sets. He delivers. Fastball low. Count now goes to 3-0. Sun trying to peek its way through on the right-hand side of Michael John Stadium, just through right field or first base side. A 3-0 delivery to Ricky Espinosa. He fouls just off the netting here behind the plate. 3-1 count to Ricky Espinosa.
And I think that's going to tell you a lot of what you need to know about Keystone College's approach to that game. Down 3 runs here. The leadoff runner on second base is swinging 3-0. Very aggressive.
Brennan gets the sign. He delivers a slider low. Also a little bit outside. So that's going to walk Ricky Espinosa and bring to the plate third baseman Fernando Perez. So runners on first and second here for Keystone College. Here in the top of this fifth inning. No outs. Patrick Brennan starting to dig a little bit of groove here in the dirt and up against the mound. Fernando Perez going to do something we, again, I haven't really seen kind of from these Keystone College hitters. He's going to go switch hitter here. And he steps in the left-hand batter's box, and as you said earlier, Paul, what a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Brennan's first pitch. Perez bunts foul down the third baseline. 0-1 count to Fernando Perez.
And now it makes me wonder, knowing that he's up there to bunt, was he wasn't batting left-handed against the first right-handed pitcher he faced. Maybe that was the reason he stepped in to the left-handed side of the batter's box, but he's stuck there now.
Yeah, Fernando Perez is 6'3 junior, out of Reading, Pennsylvania. And the second pitch that he sees from Patrick Brennan, he bunts and that elevates just off the netting here against the backstop. So an 0-2 count for Fernando Perez, and if your coach, Jamie Shivchik, Paul, would you keep the bunt on or would you let him hit away here?
I would let him hit. I've never been a big fan of bunting with two strikes, even when it's a pitcher. So if nobody out here, I would take my chances when I swing away.
And Perez is 2-for-2 on the day. He does have 2 singles, so he does know how to swing that bat. However, we're not sure how well he is at it from the left-handed batter's box. And Paul, he does try to bunt with 2 strikes on him. He fouls that ball directly behind catcher Will Davis, and in disgust, he throws his bat, throws his helmet. Not a good at bat there by Fernando Perez, unable to get the bunt down. So one out here recorded for Patrick Brennan and the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, they weren't exactly the best attempts either. He had a couple really easily buntable pitches there, and he popped a couple up and then just found that last one off. So
that'll bring up left fielder Angie Vega, who I believe is 1-for-2 on the day. He struck out in his first at bat. Singled in his second at bat. First pitch that he sees from Patrick Brennan, low and inside, ball one. Andy Vega entering today's game with the second highest average for Keystone College at 4.15. Probably a little bit of a power threat, not very usual that your 7 hitter is tied for the team lead in home runs, as he's tied with Brian Henry.
Yeah. He only has 10 RBIs, maybe that's because of where he's batting in the order, but an almost 800 slugging percentage, so he does have some pop in that bat.
The 2-0 pitch by Patrick Brennan is a strike right down the middle, so 2-1 count to Andy Vega. Ricky Espinosa takes his lead off the second base. Brennan's delivery is smacked into deep left field. That's going to go over the wall. Home run, Andy Vega. We alluded to a ball. He had some pop. Patrick Brennan throws that pitch right down the middle, and that's going to give the Keystone College Giants a 5-5 tie here with 10 Quakers in the top of this fifth inning.
Yeah, you had said it. He has some pop in the bat. Got some sour numbers for a seven-hole hitter, and you know, if Keystone College is a little nervous at all to start the game, they're certainly seem very comfortable right now.
Again, Patrick Brennan threw that ball right down the middle of the plate. Right-handed pitching, Andy Vega just smacked that ball deep in the left field. Jeremy Mouse could do nothing but just watch that ball sail right over his head here at the 365 mark. And the next pitch by Patrick Brennan is smacked deep in the center field. Greg Zebrak, it goes over his head, travels to the wall. Zebrak gets it in quickly. So, again, a one-out double here for Frank Mormino. Patrick Brennan not having a good fifth inning.
Yeah, that's a couple of ropes back-to-back. On the first home run earlier in the game with the Giants, it was a pretty well-hit ball. The only question whether it was fair or foul. That last home run by Vega was a no doubt about it.
So one-out double here for Frank Mormino as he just smacked that ball deep in the center field. Greg Zebrak was playing a little bit shallow, not much. That ball just kept traveling over his head. He got the ball in quickly. So one-out double for Mormino, and it brings the top of the lineup, second baseman Esteban Malicic. First pitch that Esteban sees is a strike. Excuse me, that wasn't Mormino. That was Edwin Padua. Now, up to that now, it's Frank Mormino. I apologize. Thank you, Paul, for putting that out.
Wasn't sure from my vantage point either. So when he turned his jersey, I was like, hey.
So again, to recap, Andy Vega hits a three-run home run. Edwin Padua follows that up with a one-out double. And now at the plate, Frank Mormino, who has a 1-1 count. Patrick Brennan takes a look back at second base, motions that he was going to throw. Brennan went to cover, but no throw. Keystone College evens up this game 5-5 here in the top of the fifth, still threatening with the runner on second. The breaking ball from Patrick Brennan is offered as a bunt by Frank Mormino. He puts that bunt seemingly right underneath that pitch there. So a 1-2 count from Frank Mormino. A little bit surprised there, Paul, by the call by Coach Jamie Shivchek to bunt that run over to third with two outs.
Two outs. Yep. Yeah, that's a little curious. It's in scoring position now. I think I'd rather have two batters take a shot at knocking them with just a single.
And the 1-2 pitch to Frank Mormino, low and in the dirt, a little bit outside. So ball two, 2-2 count to Mormino. Edwin Padua takes his lead off of second base. Brennan Engelhardt dancing in and out, trying to cover. Patrick Brennan's pitch is driven into right field. Adrian Lorenzo giving chase. However, that ball bounces off the netting down the right field sideline. Count remains 2-2.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, you know, Frank Mormino has been struggling pretty significantly so far this season, so maybe Coach would rather take his chances with that runner at third base and two outs.
And the 2-2 delivery from Brennan is hit to shortstop Derek Patel, who throws over to first baseman Rick Bremer for the out. The runner advances to third base. So two outs here for the top of the lineup, Esteban Malicic, and on third base, Edwin Padua. Two outs here at the top of the fifth. Keystone College has tried this game. It's 10 Quakers, 5-5. And if you're Coach John Cole, when your team comes into the dugout, assuming there's no more damage is done, what do you tell your varsity team?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to assume that just yet, but I think he's got to tell them, let them know something they should have figured out for themselves by now, that they're in a baseball game here. Now, there's no intimidation factor. There's no awe from the Keystone College Giants. They're just here to play baseball, and they're doing a pretty good job of it right now.
The first pitch from Patrick Brennan is a slider outside, ball one. Will Davis snaps the ball quickly back to Brennan, and he delivers. Looks to be a 12-6 curveball right over top of the plate. Strike one to Esteban Malicic. Malicic 0-3 on the day. Last time we saw him, he bounced one off the netting down the first baseline at the Bremer thought. That hit was never noticed to go off the netting here by the first base umpire and towards the home plate umpire. A little bit of confusion earlier on here at Michael Johns Stadium.
Yeah, probably not what Esteban had in mind when he was coming back home. No home cooking there for him.
Brennan's pitch smacked in the left field, and that's going to give the Keystone Giants the lead here. That's a two-out single by Esteban Maletich. Jeremy Moss gets the ball in quickly. However, damage is done here as Keystone College has now already put up four runs on the board, giving us the Penn Quakers in this non-conference game.
Yeah, Brennan did a good job when we saw him last week, but he's struggling so far in his outing today. Not sure if Coach Cole just wanted to get him some work, but this certainly isn't what he had in mind.
So with Esteban Maletich on first base, that brings up Andrew Siano, the right-handed hitting center fielder for Keystone College. Siano 1-for-3 on the day. He struck out his first at bat, grounded out to Dan Williams, the third baseman, for his second at bat, and hit a single on his third at bat. He's going to hit at least a single on his fourth at bat as he drives one deep in the left field corner. Esteban Maletich rounding third base. The throw by Jeremy Moss bounces just at the feet of Derek Vigoa. Vigoa misplays that ball. It's going to allow Esteban Maletich to score, scoring a double as Andrew Siano. Most importantly, Keystone College now with a 7-5 lead here in the top of the fifth over the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, a clean hit for Siano there. Give him credit for the double for sure, but I think Maletich is going to stop at third base, so I think they're going to have to score an error to get him to the plate, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, Jeremy Moss played that ball off the wall, went into the angled cutout there on the left field corner. He got the ball in quickly. The ball fell just short of Derek Vigoa. A little bit misplayed there. No throw home as Esteban Maletich is able to score standing up. And again, scoring at least a single, possibly a double, as there hasn't been any thing put up onto the scoreboard just yet, is Andrew Siano. And Coach John Cole is going to go to his left hand into his bullpen and signals for a left hand pitcher, thus ending the day here for Patrick Brennan.
Yeah, rough go of it for Brennan here on the afternoon. Got off to a good start in the fourth, but really struggled here in the fifth inning. As you mentioned, the Keystone College Giants have taken the lead.
And while the Penn Quakers make a pitching change, we'll get you all the information on Patrick Brennan's staff, as well as the incoming pitcher. At the top of the fifth inning with two outs, Keystone College now leading your Penn Quakers 7-5. Stay tuned to the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustini. Here at the top of the fifth inning in this non-conference matchup, the Keystone College Giants now lead the Penn Quakers after putting up so far a five spot, and they're still batting here at the top of the fifth, leading the Penn Quakers 7-5. Coach John Cole just visited the mound. He's going to make a pitching change, and he brings in left-handed pitcher number 19, freshman Alex Dott.
Yep, this will be Alex's ninth appearance. They've all been in relief so far this year, Steve. He has a very high ERA of 11.05. He's only pitched 7 in the third inning. He has given up 9 hits, 10 runs, 9 of them earned. He has walked 5 batters, and he struck out 7.
Alex Ott steps on the mound. The first thing he does is apparently a balk as third base umpire signals balk and allows the runner on second base, Andrew Ciano, to travel free-willed over to third base. So not a good start here for Alex Ott as he's now going to pitch to left-handed hitting Roberto Santana. The first pitch to Santana is low and outside, ball one.
Yeah, I just think he might have started and stopped there. He didn't realize the play was about to begin, and he just gave him a little hitch when he was on the mound. That was enough.
Second delivery is low and in the dirt, ball two. 2-0 to Roberto Santana, the right fielder for the Keystone College Giants. Third pitch inside to Santana, but Santana swings at it awkwardly. Swings right through it. Strike one to Santana. 2-1 count. Alex Ott got very lucky there, Paul.
Yeah, that's for sure. Santana did him a favor. That pitch definitely would be ball three.
Ott gets his sign. He gets set. He delivers. Fastball in the outside corner. Nice pitch there by Alex Ott. Evens the count up. It's 2-2. Standing on third base, Andrew Ciano. Off the bat, Roberto Santana. Alex Ott, the left-handed freshman for Penn, and his 2-2 delivery is looked to be a little bit of a slider outside. So 3-2 count. Obviously, with the bases not loaded, the runner on third will not be running, or I would assume he would not be running. Roberto Santana, left-handed hitting right fielder, awaits his pitch, and the Ott delivers. Santana grounds that weakly back to Alex Ott. He makes a nice play on it, throws over to Rick Bredner, gets the third out of the inning. But not before some heavy damage is done here, Paul. 5 runs, what I believe to be 4 hits. 4 hits. No errors, I don't believe, in that inning, although we assume that one may be charged against Lagoa. So 5 runs on 4 hits, no errors. Penn Quakers, most importantly, find themselves now down 2 runs, 7-5. We'll be right back here with you on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Preston. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustini. Here in the bottom of the fifth inning to start, the Penn Quakers are going to come to bat. They're now going to face right-handed pitcher Andy Eggleston, the right-hander here, number 23, the Keystone College Giants. Eggleston, a junior pitcher out of Binghamton, New York, 6'3 right-hander. Paul, I'll turn it over to you if you can let some of our listeners know some of his stats.
This is Eggleston's 6th appearance of the year. They've all been in relief. He has a 2.53 ERA, an 0-1 record. He's thrown 10 and two-thirds innings, thrown up 8 hits, 4 runs, only 3 of those earned. He's only walked 4 batters while he struck out 13, and he's held opposing batters to a 2.05 batting average yet.
First batter that Andy Eggleston will face will be the Ivy League Player of the Week, Jeremy Moss, right-handed hitting left fielder here for the Penn Quakers. And Paul, after a really rough top of the 5th inning, there's got to be nothing better for Penn to send to the plate their most consistent hitter of the season, Jeremy Moss.
Yeah, but Moss has shown an act of getting on base. He's not afraid to give himself up or to take the small ball way out, and we'll look at a few pitches, I'm sure, here.
The first pitch to Moss is a fastball outside, so ball one to Jeremy Moss. Second pitch exactly the same, fastball outside, ball two. 2-0 count to Jeremy Moss here in the bottom of this 5th inning, as we find the Penn Quakers trailing the Keystone Giants 7-5. 2-0 delivery is in the dirt, ball three. So good job here early on by Johnny Moss, taking some pitches, not chasing after anything, not showing any undisciplined behavior as the 3-0 pitch travels over the top of the plate. 3-1 count now to Jeremy Moss.
Yeah, good at bat for Jeremy. Look at some pitches, make the new pitcher work, let his teammates get a look at him.
Moss swings a 3-1 offering, hits it in the left field. Left fielder Andy Vega camps under it, makes a nice two-handed catch. Retires Jeremy Moss, so one out here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Keystone Giants leading 7-5. That brings up senior catcher Will Davis.
Yeah, good pitch there by Eggleston. He got in on Moss's hands a little bit. Was able to jam him slightly. And a lazy fly ball out the left field.
As we stated earlier, Will Davis coming into this game with 101 hits. This is a great accomplishment here for the Penn Quakers. The first pitch that Will Davis uses is a strike. The second pitch is low and inside. But 1-1 count here early on to senior catcher Will Davis. One-one delivery. Davis turns on it. Foul down the first baseline. 1-2 count to Will Davis. Will Davis just moved a little bit early on that swing there. Very aggressive swing, but just a little bit early, Paul.
Yeah, just a touch, Charles. You saw a fastball he liked. He just didn't wait quite long enough on it. Hit the ball hard, but foul.
And 1-2 pitch. Davis swings over top of strike three to Will Davis. Two quick outs here for Andy Eggleston. That'll bring up designated hitter Mike Mariano.
Yeah, and unlike the 1-1 pitch, Davis had a really weak swing at that 1-2 offering.
The first pitch that Mike Mariano sees is a slider outside, ball one. Eggleston's second pitch, two-seam fastball, low and in the dirt, ball two. So it seems like every batter thus far, Paul, he's fallen behind, but he's been able to battle back. Not something that I'm sure Jamie Shevchak really wants to see out of his pitcher, but he can't complain as well. A 2-0 delivery, hit out the left field. Left fielder Andy Vega, a little bit of a misstep there, but he makes the catch. So another 1-2-3 inning here for the Keystone College Giants. They're going to retire Penn Quakers in order. After the bottom of the fifth, Penn Quakers trail 7-5. We'll be right back here on the Penn Sports Network. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustine. And just before we head into the top of the sixth inning, Penn Athletics would like to thank the following corporate partners for their continued support. Abner Seasteaks, Allstate, Amtrak, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, Comcast Sportsnet, the Comcast Network, Holiday Inn, Philadelphia's Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, The Inn at Penn, Penn A Restaurant, Jimmy John's, J.J. White, Kindred Healthcare, Nolan Advanced Office Environment, Pico, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Qdoba, ShopRite, Sprinter, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. As we head into the top of the sixth inning, Alex Ott remains on the mound as he delivers a first pitch ball to Keystone College catcher Brian Henry. Ott sets, he delivers. Henry sends the ball to third baseman Dan Williams. Williams comes up short. It's a little bit high. Rick Bremner stretches out, grabs that one out of the air. One quick out early on for Alex Ott, the freshman pitcher to the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, it's still important now for Penn after they've been shut down the last couple innings And Keystone College got on the board with 5 runs in the top of the fifth to get a good performance here from Ott. 1-2-3 would be ideal.
That brings to the plate designated hitter, Ricky Espinosa. Espinosa, the right-handed hitter. Now it's not the left-handed pitcher, so a little bit of an advantage, if you will, for Espinosa. Espinosa fouls the ball off. The 1-1 count here to Espinosa. And he is going 2-for-3 on, or excuse me, 2-for-2 on a day, including a walk. So 2 singles and a walk for Ricky Espinosa. He scored 2 of the 7 Keystone College runs thus far. And it's just been a major thorn in the side of the Penn Quakers pitchers thus far. He sends that pitch up the middle. Tough hop on Derek Mazzella. Bounces off of his forearm. You can't really blame Derek Mazzella there. That ball just took a rough hop late in its pass to Derek Mazzella. Mazzella tried to field that. Rough start for Alex Dodd as he records the first out. And a little bit of an error. Now they're going to throw an error on Derek Mazzella. Again, Paul, a tough play. Nonetheless, an error for Derek Mazzella.
Yeah, that was a tough play. He was on the move to his left, back up the middle. I think maybe he should have had it. Did come up on him a little bit, but he just wasn't able to adjust. So another runner on base for Keystone College.
That brings to the plate third baseman Fernando Perez. Last time we saw Perez, he was in the left-handed batter's box, and he struck out as he was attempting to bunt. And now here on a pitch by Alex Knott, that bounces off. It looked to be the knee pattern, maybe even the quad of catcher Will Davison bounces into the Penn dugout. Not a good play there by Will Davis. A little bit of miscommunication there with Alex Knott. Ball bounces off of him. Ricky Espinosa is able to travel up to second base. So one out, runner on second base. Fernando Perez, a little bit of stress taken off of his shoulder, and now he'll see a couple of different signs from third base coach Chris Homer.
Hey, Will Davis went out to talk to his pitcher for that cross-up. He probably scored out a wild pitch because it didn't actually get to Davis's glove, but they definitely went out on the same page there.
So one on count here to Fernando Perez. Perez, right-handed hitter. Now it's not left-handed pitcher, and Perez smacks that ball in the center. Still brings D-Bark. He may have a good track on it. Ball bounces right in front of him. Not very deep. He's able to get that ball in. Ricky Espinosa had to make a late jump on it as he wasn't sure if Zebrek was going to catch that or not. He does advance to third base. The runners on the corners, first and third, was one out as that brings to the plate Andy Vega. Well, a little bit of a familiar situation here for Andy Vega. 2 runners on, 1 out. Last time we saw this out of Vega, he smacked a ball that was just over the 365-foot mark in left field, giving the Keystone College Giants a 2-run lead here, as again, they've upheld that lead thus far, 7-5 over the Penn Quakers, as Coach John Cole travels out to the mound to talk to his freshman left-hander.
Yeah, and I think he wants to make sure the lefty realizes and remembers what Vega did last time he was up. They do have the base open. It is second base, but I think with the left-handed pitcher and the right-handed hitter already showing has some pop today, I think they're going to be real careful with how they pitch him.
Yeah, earlier on in the game, Brian Henry took the Keystone College team lead in home run with 5. However, again, in Andy Vega's life at bat, he was able to tie up that battle with his 5th home run of the season, as they, again, are tied for the lead in home runs from Keystone College Giants with 5. Vega looking to do more damage here as Alex Ott gets the sign. He sets. He delivers. The first pitch will be a little bit of a changeup. Strike 1 here to Andy Vega, as he looks down at his third base coach, and as well, Fernando Perez looking at his third base coach. I wouldn't expect any bit of a hit and run or any bit of a steal here, Paul, would you?
I wouldn't think so. They do have the 2-run lead, but I don't think they want to take Vegas, or that out of Vegas' hand right here.
Now, Todd Notions at home. He throws over first, and they have Fernando Perez in a rundown. Great play by Rick Brennery. He receives the ball from Alex Dott. He throws over to second baseman Brandon Englehart, and they're able to tag out Fernando Perez. A great pickoff there by Alex Dott. Really caught Fernando Perez sleeping. Perez started to break towards second base. Bradner again makes a great throw to Englehart. He's able to tag out Perez. So a big amount of weight lifted off the shoulders here of Alex Dott with 2 outs.
Yeah, it sure was. It looked like they put something on, and the Quakers sniffed it out. So I was wrong. I thought they would just play it straight there. But looks like something was on, and good move. That worked out nicely for Alex Dott.
Alex Dott's 0-1 deliveries inside for ball one, 1-1 count. Ricky Espinosa may have strained something there as he's doing a couple stretches and walking something off. His third base coach, again, Chris Homer, walks over to make sure he's okay. Espinosa says he is. Now it's not. Leans over, waits for his time from catcher Will Davis. Andy Vega at the plate, 1-1 count, two outs. Off delivery. Looks to be a little bit off speed. Still high and outside. Ball two, 2-1 count to Andy Vega.
That's a big insurance run out there on third base. Two outs now for the Giants. Quakers definitely want to get out of this without any more damage here. Already down two runs.
Off the 2-1 delivery is low and outside, so ball three, 3-1 count to Andy Vega waiting on deck. Shortstop Edwin Padua. Count to Andy Vega, hot sets. He delivers. Fastball, letter high, called a strike, so 3-2 count here to Andy Vega. Umpire signals 2-2, but I do believe the correct count is 3-2.
I have it as 3-2.
Will Davis gives Andy out his son. Outside his son. Hot delivers, and he fouls that straight back down to the off the backstop here. So the count remains 3-2 to left fielder Andy Vega. Vega, the senior outfielder out of Glenhead, New York. Now the scoreboard reads 2-2, Paul, so you and I may be the only ones under the impression that it's 3-2. Not through the curveball that's now just down the third baseline, so the count remains an anonymous 2 or 3 balls and definitely 2 strikes.
Yeah, so we're starting about the 2 strikes. Greg Knight announced when they were doing the majority rules between his count, my count, and the scoreboard. 2 out of 3 had it one way. We went with that, so I think it is a full count here.
Outside catch this time from catcher Will Davis. Davis sets up on the outside corner to the right-handed hitting outside. Andy Vega. Now, Paul, I'm going to guarantee you we have a 3-2 count, because that ball is low and outside. Ball 3, maybe 4. Being a Penn Quaker fan, I will definitely take that. So full count to Andy Vega. And ball 4 is that pitch is on the outside portion of the plate. So runners are here on first and third. Andy Vega takes his base at first. On third base is Ricky Espinosa. Stepping up to the plate, Edwin Padua. Padua 2-for-3 on the day. He has a single, a double, and a run scored. Last time he was up, he just hit a ball that continued to sail over the center fielder Greg Dvorak's head. Dvorak staying a little bit deeper than he was, I believe, in Padua's last at bat. So again, no balls, no strikes, 2 outs. Now if not, turns over to first baseman Rick Bremner, sending Andy Vega back to the bag safely.
Yeah, and that was 2 outs. As the Giants get towards the bottom of the lineup, I think they'd be much more likely to put on some type of play with the runners on first and third here.
Now if not gets the time, he delivers to home. That pitch is fouled off the netting here on the first base side. Chris Bremner could have maybe tried to catch it, maybe get away with another one here.
I don't think they would have missed that one, Steven. But you never know.
So an 0-1 count to Edwin Padua, the shortstop for Keystone College. Ricky Espinosa on third. Not a lot of speed there. Andy Vega on first. Both runners take their lead. The 0-1 count. Delivery by Alex Knott is low and inside, ball one. On deck, first baseman, Frank Mormino. Alex Knott gets his sign. He peers over at first base. Andy Vega arrives back safely.
Yeah, Padua's homecoming for him as well. He played his high school ball at Thomas Edison here in the city, so a couple of public league players in the Keystone lineup today.
Padua ready, hot sets. He hits the ball. Rick Bremner does not have to travel far. However, the first base umpire calls that foul. And Paul, I couldn't be any more clear when I said that Rick Bremner was standing on the line. Maybe block a little bit more with his body. The umpire may have called that fair, nonetheless.
Yeah.
He fielded that ball just prior to first base. He was standing right on the bag as he was holding on Andy Vega. So 1-2 count here to to Edwin Padua. Runners on first and third, two out. Keystone leading the Penn Quakers 7-5 here in the top of the sixth inning. Now it's out. The Penn freshman sets. He throws a curveball just inside. Even the count on a 2-2. That's not a bad pitch, curveball.
No, definitely a 1-2 count. See if he can get Padua to offer at it. Good discipline by Padua, though. He laid off.
And the 2-2 delivery from outside as he sets. Comes and out balls weakly down the third baseline. Dan Williams fields it. Throws over to Rick Bremner and records the third out. So no runs here in the top of the sixth inning. I believe one hit on no, one error, two left on base. Penn Quakers traveling to the bottom of the sixth inning, trailing 7-5 to the Keystone College Giants. Stay tuned. We'll be here with the bottom of the sixth right after this here on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back to the Penn Athletic Network. Stepping into the box is first baseman Rick Bremner here for the Penn Quakers in the bottom of the sixth inning. Penn Quakers trailing the Keystone College Giants 7-5. The first pitch that Rick Bremner sees is high, fastball, ball one. Paul, just as that top of the sixth inning ending, Coach John Cole assembled his team just on the top step of the dugout. He had some words for them. What do you think Coach Cole told his team?
I think he wants them to get it in gear here. We're already in the bottom of the sixth. They gave up a 5-run spot in the top of the fifth to the Giants, and they're down 2 runs here. I don't think he wants them to wait around or just assume it's going to happen. They need to take charge here.
Rick Bremner now gets the count up to 3-0, so 3 straight balls here to Rick Bremner. And pitcher Andy Eggleston staying with his current format as he falls behind the hitters, and then has to battle his way back as he does there. Strike one, 3-1 count to Rick Bremner. Eggleston 3-1 delivery. High for ball four. So, Paul, we've discussed pitchers, quote-unquote, pitching backward. Eggleston really doing a different variation of that. He's really fallen behind all these hitters thus far, but he's been able to battle back, and it really hasn't hurt him. But a leadoff walk here to Rick Bremner, and that'll bring up Greg Zebrack, the center fielder here for the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, it's a dangerous way to go about it, and here now in the bottom of the sixth inning, it may be catching up with him as he gives up the leadoff walk.
First pitch that he throws is Zebrack is inside fastball for a ball, ball one. Now, is this the kind of situation here where you would expect Greg Zebrack to just bunt, maybe get the hitter or the runner over to second base, and then even just take his chances with his speed to maybe get the first baseball?
The only reason why I think he might be bunting is because of what you said. He has good speed, he's a good bunter, he might be able to beat it out. But I'm not sure at this point in the game, getting towards the bottom of the line, if you wanted to just give himself up on the sit bat.
Eggleston throws over at first base, and Bremner arrives back safely. Eggleston throws to home. Looked to be a little bit of a slider there as it started towards the middle of the plate and broke outside on the right-handed hitting Greg Zebrack. 2-0 count to Greg Zebrack.
Yeah, a little undercharacteristic here for Eggleston. He seems a little wild. He came into the game only having given up 4 walks. That was his 5th walk of the year. He gave up to Bremner to start this inning.
And he throws over to first. Rick Bremner gets his jersey dirty. Slides safely in the first. So, again, 2-0 count to Greg Zebrack. Rick Bremner on first. No out. And that delivery by Eggleston is high. So, ball three here, Greg Zebrack. Very uncharacteristic, as you said, Paul. Eggleston with only 4 walks coming into the game. In danger of giving up his second straight. And he does there as that fastball is low and in the dirt. Catcher Brian Henrich used to slow walk out, calm down his pitcher, Andy Eggleston, on West. Two batters in the inning thus far. No official appearances. Two walks, two runners, first and second. No out here for shortstop Derek Zagawa.
Yeah, Zagawa's been hitting the ball pretty well so far on this season. I'd be more inclined to think he might bump with the runners on first and second. But Adrian Lorenzo is off to a slow start this year, so I'm not sure what coach has in mind for this at bat.
Keystone College pitching coach Eric Lechier walking out there now to talk to his young pitcher, Andy Eggleston, the junior, again out of Binghamton, New York. And the entire infield now assembles on the mound. And Derek Zagawa, third base coach John Cross. On deck here, Adrian Lorenzo, and the two runners convey over on third base. Convene over at third base. So I'm going to lay the situation out for you. We are here on the Penn Sports Network, bottom of the sixth inning. My name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Agostini. Penn Quakers in a non-conference game today here against Keystone College Giants. Now down 7-5. Penn jumps out to a 4-0 lead. However, lost that lead with a 5-run fifth inning by Keystone College. Doing some of that damage is a 3-run homer by Andy Vega. Now the Penn Quakers here threatening in the bottom of the sixth. Runners on first and second. No outs. Derek will go up to the plate. Go with the first pitch. He fouls off for a strike. The second pitch to Goa sees. He bunts down on the third baseline. So an 0-2 count to Derek Zagawa.
That was interesting. Yeah, it didn't show any signs of bunt on the first pitch. Fouled it off then on the second pitch. Bunted now, so he's down the count 0-2.
Eggleston steps. He goes from the stretch. Zagawa shows bunt again. He puts that down. Good bunt there by Derek Zagawa. He simply wanted to get that bunt down. He really wasn't trying to position it too well. He just sets it right in front of the mound. Andy Eggleston goes and catches it. Runners advance to second and third. So sacrifice bunt for Derek Zagawa. That'll bring up right fielder Adrian Lorenzo.
Yeah, it was a nice bunt by Zagawa. That ball was a little high. Not the easiest ball to bunt. Like you said, he just got it out in front of the plate. Only one play with the first base. So a bit of a risky move with two strikes, but Zagawa was able to pull it off.
The right-handed throwing Andy Eggleston delivers a first pitch ball to the left-handed pitching, left-handed hitting Adrian Lorenzo. That ball low and in the dirt. Ball one. So again, Rick Redman on third. Greg Zeebrock on second. The second offering off the glove of Brian Henry. And that's going to score Rick Redman. Again, it looked to just be a pass ball. It just bounced right off the glove of Brian Henry. Traveled over towards the Penn dugout. Rick Redner hustles in and scores and brings this team into a difference of one run here, 7-6 in the bottom of six. Advancing to third base is Greg Zeebrock. So a lucky break here for the Penn Quakers here in the sixth inning.
Yeah, we've seen Brian Henry do a nice job for the Giants blocking balls in the third, but I don't know what happened on that one. He just missed it. That was an easy play. I don't think he was crossed up. He just didn't maybe foul it all the way in, nicked off his glove, and just enough for the Quakers to score.
Now ball was outside of here on the left-handed hitting Adrian Lorenzo. So 2-0 count to Lorenzo. Eggleston sets. He delivers. Throws actually behind Adrian Lorenzo. That ball bounced off the dugout, the backstop. Bounced right back to Brian Henry. However, he is unable to make a play. Great job of hustling by Greg Zeebrock. And the Penn Quakers now, Paul, have evened this game out at 7. So they really just take advantage of the pass ball and wild pitch by Andy Eggleston and catcher Brian Henry. They seem to be a little bit mixed up. That ball, again, from way behind Adrian Lorenzo, the right-handed throwing. Andy Eggleston throws it behind Adrian Lorenzo, and 10 times it came up at 7 apiece.
Yeah, Eggleston had no chance on that one. That ball was at least 6 feet wide of the target, I would say. He almost got made a play on the ball in the ricochet.
And an interesting series of events as catcher Brian Henry, he throws the ball back to Eggleston. Eggleston misses it, and it travels into center field, but no damage done. Lorenzo was hustling on the plate, ran his first base, looked to slip a little bit. So a very interesting series of events here, Paul. He comes into this game only giving up 4 walks. Now, in this inning alone, has allowed 3 of them, and head coach Jamie Shevchak is going to come out and make the switch.
Yeah, I think he's seen enough. Eggleston pitched well first inning of work, but this inning he's been able to have trouble behind the plate. And like you said, the Giants are starting to self-destruct a little bit. Lakers have pushed two across here, and they've yet to get a hit in the past inning.
So we're going to go on a little short break here as Keystone College brings in someone from their bullpen. We'll get you that information and more as we return here. Here in the bottom of the sixth inning, tie game, Penn and Keystone College, tied at 7 apiece. Again, I'm Steve Prescott, Paul Agostini, here for the Penn Sports Network. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Penn Sports Network here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Penn Quakers threatening to take the lead here from the Keystone College Giants. Penn coming into the inning, trailing 7-5. They've evened up the inning at 7 apiece without even acquiring a hit here, Paul. So a good job of staying disciplined, taking advantage of the mistakes here performed by the Keystone College Giants.
Yeah, that's for sure. Good efficient use of their base runner so far this inning. They've gotten two of them across, like you said, without a hit. Taking advantage of a wild pitch in the pass ball.
Coach Jamie Stepchak made a pitching change as he brought in right-handed pitcher Jeffrey Frost, number 25, for Keystone College. And the first pitch that he delivers to Brendan Engelhart. Engelhart fouls off to the left-hand side, just off the third baseline. So an 0-1 count to Brendan Engelhart. Paul, I want to turn to you, and if you could, just give us some numbers here on Jeffrey Frost.
Yeah, Jeff Frost is a senior pitcher from Freehold, New Jersey. This will be his seventh appearance, only his second in relief. He's got a 2-3 record, 4.32 ERA, and 25 innings pitched, 24 hits, 13 runs, 12 of them earned. He's walked 13, but he struck out 26.
On the 0-1 pitch to Brendan Engelhart, Frost threw, looked to be a little bit of a swerve there, and he almost pushed that ball over the plate, really. Brendan Engelhart offered that at last second, smacked it foul down the third baseline. 0-2 count to the Penn Quakers, second baseman. So you have Adrian Lorenzo taking his lead off of first. Brendan Engelhart up to bat. On a 77-mile-an-hour curveball, Brendan Engelhart hit second baseman Esteban Melatich for the out. That will advance Adrian Lorenzo to second base. So two positives on the plate ball. He advances the runner. And number two, he doesn't hit it to Frank Morino.
That's right. Right inside the diamond, but he got that one a little further away from the first baseline.
They put that ball on the ground. He advances Adrian Lorenzo. Two outs here for the Penn Quakers. So that brings up third baseman Dan Williams.
Yeah, I think Giants coach Jamie Stepchak just wants Frost to come in here and do a little damage control. The Quakers have already tied the game. He'd like to get out of it here, still tied at 7.
And the first pitch to Frost. Throws to Dan Williams, is low and in the dirt, ball one. Frost's second pitch is a fastball, 86-mile-an-hour fastball. High and inside to Williams, and Williams offers that, it hits it to right field. Right fielder Roberto Santana comes in to make the catch. So, despite the lack of a hit, three walks turn into two runs here for the Penn Quakers, as they even up this game, 7-7. So two runs, no hits, no errors. One man left on base. We travel to the top of the seventh. Again, game tied, 7-7. We'll be right back here on the Penn Sports Network. Good afternoon and welcome back here to Michael John Stadium. It's a beautiful campus here at the University of Pennsylvania. We join you in the top of the seventh inning in a baseball matchup between Keystone College Shire and your Pennsylvania Quakers. This game is tied 7-7. We'll give you some of the lines here in the game. Penn jumped out to a 4-0 lead. Then Keystone College came back to score 2 in the top of the third, making it 4-2. Penn answered with a run in the bottom of the third to make it 5-2. Keystone College then threw up a 5 spot in the top of the fifth inning to take the lead from Penn 7-5. And then Penn, in just the previous hitting, Paul, no hits, 3 walks, wild pitch, pass ball, 2 runs scored. They even up this game. So Penn really took advantage of the opportunities given to them in the mistakes there by catcher Brian Henry and pitcher Andy Eggleston. And now they turn the ball over to pitcher Paul Cusick, the senior out of Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah, this will be Cusick's first appearance out of the bullpen. He had made 6 starts previous to this. He has a 3-2 record with a 2.95 ERA. Actually pitched 2 complete games when he was starting. He has 36 and 2/3 innings pitched on the year. He's given up 35 hits, 16 runs, only 12 of those were earned. He's walked 13 and he's struck out 42. And Paul Cusick was named both the Ivy League and the Big 5 Pitcher of the Week last week for his efforts in league play.
Now, Paul Cusick pitched the first game in the doubleheader against Harvard on Saturday. Cusick earned the victory in a complete game, 8-1 victory. But even more impressive, Paul, I believe he had 12 strikeouts on the day, which is the second highest since 2005 for a Penn pitcher. He just dominated Harvard inside and out of the lineup, really just commanded the ball, got all of his pitches over for strikes. Greg Knight and myself commentating on Saturday were just amazed at the way that he was able to control the hitters. He'd set them up with a fastball, set them up with his breaking pitch, and just throw a slider, and that's how he was able to garner 12 strikeouts on a very talented Harvard lineup. And here he enters into this game from the bullpen, really just trying to salvage not only the tie game, but hopefully to hold the score as is so the Penn Quakers can take the lead.
Yeah, it tells you what John Cole thinks about this game now. He's bringing in who's probably considered his number one starter here in relief. I don't think he wants this one to slip away.
Well, the first batter that he'll face is first baseman Frank Mormino. Mormino on the day is 0-3. He's lined out to Adrian Lorenzo. He's gotten it off Jack McGill a couple times. So Mormino, not a good day to plate. He definitely has been struggling, as Paul alluded to earlier in the game. And the first couple pitches he sees from Paul Cusick, 1-1. Cusick retrieves the ball, fires quickly. Fires a 90-mile-an-hour fastball high, ball 2. Cusick working out of the windup. He steps, he throws. Fastball just above the letters to Frank Mormino, 3-1 count.
Good at bat by Mormino here, seeing the new pitcher making him work.
Cusick 3-1 delivery, high, gets over the glove of Will Davis. Davis really can't find the ball as it bounces all the way out to pretty much midway between home plate and first base. Cusick asking for a new ball, gives the home plate umpire the old one. A little disgusted with himself for giving him a leadoff walk. That'll bring up leadoff hitter Esteban Bleched.
Yeah, with a hitter struggling as badly as Mormino's been this year for the Giants, you know, it's bad enough to walk any leadoff batter in an inning, but in one inning, as low as he has been struggling as much as he has, Cusick really wants to kick himself now.
Bleched, 1-4 in the day. This is his fifth appearance at the plate. Right-handed hitting Bleched, and the right-handed throwing Paul Cusick. Cusick steps off. Just to send Frank Mormino back to first base. He does not throw. Keystone College, 7 runs, 13 hits, no errors. Penn Quakers, 7 runs, 5 hits, 2 errors. And you see Esteban Moleche sacrifice bunt from third baseman Dan Williams, makes a nice play, throws over to first baseman Rick Bremner for the out. One out as the runner, Frank Mormino, advances to second base. And that'll bring up center fielder Andrew Siano.
Yeah, good job there by Esteban, who leads heads the local product. With the tie game now, getting into the seventh inning, I think the Giants are going to try to take advantage of any base runner they have and play a little small ball here against Cusick.
Siano, 2-4 in the day. He struck out in his first appearance. He grounded out the game Williams in his second. He has a single and a double in his last 2 appearances at the plate. And the first pitch that he sees from Paul Cusick is a strike. 0-1 count, the center fielder for Keystone College. Cusick throws a breaking ball, looks to be a 12-6 curveball, just catches enough that inside corner, 0-2 count to Andrew Siano.
Yeah, Cusick really had Siano off balance on that pitch. Like you said, that was a sharp breaking curveball there.
Cusick's third delivery, swung on a miss there by Andrew Siano. Nice breakout there by Paul Cusick to garner the second out here for the Penn Quakers, as now he'll face off against Roberto Santana.
Yeah, that's a big out, like you said, for the Quakes now. Have that runner on second base, but now with two outs, I think Cusick can see his way out of the inning here.
Cusick throws what looks to be a slider inside on left end and hitting Roberto Santana, ball one.
Nice block there by Will Davis, got the ball in front of him, and he kept the Giants base runner at second.
Roberto Santana, 1-for-4 on the day, opening the game with a single. Has a pair of strikeouts on the day. Speaking of strikes, he sees one right there. It must be 12-6 curveball again. Just catches it up that inside corner. 1-1 count for Roberto Santana, the right fielder for Keystone College. Cusick with another breaking ball, just a little bit low. 2-1 count for Roberto Santana. Waiting on deck, catcher Brian Henry. Henry 2-for-4 on the day with a home run. Nice breaking ball there by Paul Cusick. Gets that just over the outside corner of the plate. Roberto Santana looked at it. Didn't do anything with it. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Runner on second. Paul Cusick throws the mound. Roberto Santana holds his bat.
Ooh.
Very close pitch. Looks to be a breaking ball. Looks to be a slider. About letter high to Roberto Santana. He looks at it. Umpire calls it a ball. So a full count here to Roberto Santana. Cusick a little bit disgusted with that call. He's going to fire back here. And his pitch. Another slider inside to Santana. Ball four. A lot of sliders in that at bat there, Paul.
Yeah, I think Cusick let that 2-2 call bother him a little bit. He really overthrew that last pitch for ball four. And that's going to warrant a visit to the mound, I believe.
Coach John Cole coming out to the mound to visit Paul Cusick, the senior right-handed pitcher out of Wilmington, Delaware, graduate of Louisiana High School. Catcher Will Davis also involved in the conference. If you're Coach John Cole here, Paul, what are you telling your senior pitcher?
Well, I think he's going to tell him to be careful. I think it was a coincidence that he went out to talk to Cusick before he's facing Brian Henry, the cleanup hitter for Keystone College. You said already went deep once today. He doesn't want to get careless or make any mistakes here. Two on and two out. This is a really big at-bat here in this game.
Frank Mormino, the first baseman, on second base. Right fielder Roberto Santana on first base. Two out. The first pitch to Brian Henry, then called strike on the inside corner. 0-1 count, the catcher, Brian Henry.
Yeah, Cusick's curveballs are really sharp for the most part here in this inning.
Cusick motions towards second base, does not throw. Brennan Engelhardt very, very weakly covering the bag for Frank Mormino, who doesn't have too great of a lead, maybe about a 10-foot lead off the bag. Cusick throws a slider outside. Nice stop there by Will Davis, who slid with the ball and puts his body in front of it and blocks it. 1-1 count to the Keystone College number one hitter, Brian Henry.
Yeah, I don't think Mormino is much of a threat to run. He doesn't even have a stolen base attempt yet on the season.
Cusick throws another slider, started towards the middle of the plate and just broke very, very sharply to the outside corner. Called a ball, 2-1 count here to Brian Henry with two outs. Runners on first and second. This baseball game is tied at 7-7. Pickoff attempt. Brandon Engelhardt covers second base. Mormino sliding safely into second. Cusick's 2-1 delivery, a fastball. Check swing fouled off there by Brian Henry. Doesn't travel very far from home plate. So 2-2 count. So again, two balls, two strikes, two outs. Paul Cusick on the mound for the Penn Quakers. Brian Henry in the box for the Keystone College Giants. Runners on first and second. Again, this ball game tied up 7-7. Cusick throws a 2-2 slider, fouled off down the right-hand side, just foul of the first baseline.
Must be hitting there by Brian Hemmer. That pitch caught him a little bit off guard, but he was able to keep his hands back and just break that one off for a foul ball.
So again, Cusick leans in for his sign. Catcher Will Davis gives him his sign. Cusick steps. He steps. He throws. Another slider, and that's going to, again, bounce off the Denny here on the first base side. Henry stays alive, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Runners on first and second here on the top of the seventh inning, non-conference team. And the 2-2 pitch, a fastball right down the middle, strike three. Brian Henry sprung right over top of that fastball. Nice pitch there by Paul Cusick. 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Great pitch there by Paul Cusick to retire the side. No run, no hit, no errors. Two men left on base. We travel to the bottom of the seventh inning. Seventh inning stretch time. Speaking of seven, we are tied at seven. We'll be right back here on the Penn Sports Network. I'm Steve Prescott, living alongside Paul Agostini. Stay tuned. Welcome back here to the Penn Sports Network here in the bottom of the seventh inning of this baseball game between the Keystone College Giants and the Penn Quakers. We are tied here, 7-7. Penn Quakers coming to bat. But before they bat, fans, be sure to check out another exciting Penn Athletics event this upcoming weekend. Track and field, light and heavyweight men's rowing, and men's tennis are all home this weekend. For a full schedule, log on to PennAthletics.com. Paul, as we're doing here in the bottom of the seventh inning, we're joined by a new pitcher here for Keystone College. Let's see a submarine pitcher, number 35, sophomore pitcher Mike Rossi.
Yeah, Mike Rossi is also from Freehold, New Jersey. He is a sidearm right-hander, like you said. He's making his third appearance. He doesn't have a record yet. I don't know. Nor does he have. Has he given up any earned runs? He's only pitched an inning in the third, given up two hits, given up one unearned run. Hasn't walked anybody, nor has he struck anybody out. And batters are hitting 400 against them.
First batter that he will face seems to be a little bit of team. Jeremy Moss seems to be catching all the new pitchers that are entering into this game here for Keystone College. Left fielder Jeremy Moss, the Ivy League Player of the Week. Moss not having too great a day at the plate here. This he is 1-for-3. He opened the first up with a single. So again, the right-handed throwing Mike Rossi. Submarine pitcher will now battle up against right-handed hitting number 15 left fielder Jeremy Moss. Moss shows bunt. He swings right through it. Home plate umpire slow to signal. So catcher Brian Henry points down to first base to appeal. Home plate umpire obliges, and the first base umpire does signal that he offered at that. So an 0-1 count here to Jeremy Moss. Mike Rossi's second pitch, a fastball, 69-mile-an-hour fastball outside, ball one. Rossi working out of the stretch. There's another fastball and actually hits Jeremy Moss in the left hip. So Jeremy Moss will take his base. So a leadoff base runner here for the Penn Quakers. And I'm sure Coach John Colfall, he'll take any base runners no matter how he can get them, as evidenced in the bottom of that sixth inning. Three walks, no hit, two runs scored.
Yeah, that's for sure. And to lead off the inning, even though Jeremy Moss has been hot coming into this game. Tied 7 now here in the bottom 7. So Penn's just happy, I think, to have their leadoff man aboard.
That brings up senior catcher Will Davis, left-handed hitting Will Davis. Mike Rossi throws over to first base to keep Jeremy Moss honest. Moss arrives safely. Davis is 0 for 2 on the day. He's also been hit by a pitch. First pitch he sees from Mike Rossi, a fastball over the outside corner. 0-1 count to Will Davis.
Yeah, Moss is a threat to run there on first base. He's perfect on the season in his stolen base attempts, 6 for 6. And a decent size lead, I would say.
Rossi's second delivery. Catches the inside corner. Davis, a little bit of a half swing there. Did check it on the last umpire and did call it a strike. So 0-2 count. Will Davis, waiting on deck, is designated hitter Mike Mariano.
Yeah, given Rossi's delivery, he's sure he's a specialist to get out right-handed hitters.
Rossi's 0-2 count. He tried to have Will Davis chase after that ball. Outside and low. So 1-2 count to the senior catcher. Jeremy Moss takes about a 5 to 6 foot lead off of first base, and he's going. Will Davis offers the fast pitch. He sends it in the left field. Left fielder Andy Vega camps under it. Jeremy Moss has to scamper back to first base. He will safely. So I'm not sure if that was a scheduled or a planned hit and run. Nonetheless, they call it. Will Davis flies out the left field for the first out of the inning. Jeremy Moss, a lot of running, but he essentially goes nowhere.
Yeah, I think with the 1-2 count there, Davis was just protecting the Moss ball. He might be able to select the bag, so no real harm there. If he would have hit that harder than infielder, that certainly would have been trouble. But with the lazy fly ball, Moss had no trouble getting back to first base.
And as we said, that brings up Mike Mariano, 1-for-3 on a day. He opened up his first inning scoring stat sheet with a 2-run double. First pitch that he gets from Mike Rossi is a fastball on the outside corner, but Mariano offers that. He swings through it. However, stolen base there by Jeremy Moss. He slides safely into second base. Catcher Brian Henry throws the ball very high over shortstop Edwin Padua's head. However, no further damage done. Jeremy Moss, again, stealing second base. So, Paul, he stays perfect on the season, 7-for-7.
Yeah, he got a good jump on that one. That throw was way over the head of second baseman, but I think Moss had that stolen anyway.
So an 0-1 count to Mike Mariano as he swung at a pitch that was probably about a foot outside, started over the middle of the plate, and just continued to keep going. And as you spoke of earlier, Paul, Mike Rossi probably in here right now to get out the right-handed hitting Mike Mariano.
Yep. I think that's why they left him in for the one left-handed hitter, see what he can do with Mariano here with one out.
Moss dancing off of second base. Rossi pays little attention. Delivers to the plate, and his pitch low and in the dirt, ball one, 1-1 count to Mike Mariano.
Rossi does have a pretty slow delivery to the plate.
Rossi motions toward second, no throw. Jeremy Moss takes his lead, Rossi looks, he throws, that pitch right down the center of the plate, so Paul, you don't see a lot of speed on Mike Rossi's pitches, but you're seeing efficiency right now as he's getting that ball over. And again, the first strike, he was able to have Mike Mariano swing at something that was way outside of the strike zone.
Yeah, all his pitches, Rossi, look about the same. It's somewhere between a slider and a cut fastball.
There he throws that same exact pitch, the 1-2 count. Mariano again offers at it. That ball continues to travel outside of the right-handed batter's box, or excuse me, just inside of the left-handed batter's box, the right-handed hitting Mike Mariano. Offering that it's very weakly to retire him on a strikeout. Two outs here, that brings up first baseman Rick Redner.
Yeah, a little surprised that they're going to leave Rossi in here to face the left-handed hitter, but it looks like that's what they're going to do.
Redner 1-for-2 on the day with a walk. First pitch to Heasy from Rossi is a fastball in the outside corner. Ball one. And Jeremy Moss on second base. Two outs. Score is tied 7-7. Rick Redner at the plate, facing off against Mike Rossi. The umpire, I believe he called balk before that pitch, ball.
Yep, I think that's no pitch there. The second base umpire, I think he got him for no hesitation there, Rossi. Did not delay at the belt when he came set.
Jeremy Moss able to travel to third base, so two out base runner on third. Rick Redner at the plate, 1-0 count. Walsh. He's pitches low and in the dirt. 2-0 count here is to Rick Brevner. Brevner with 10 RBIs on the year. Hoping to make it 11. And the 2-0 pitch from Mike Rossi, a fastball in the outside corner. Called a strike by the home plate umpire. 2-1 to Rick Brevner.
Yeah, it seems like Rossi has that slider that breaks away from right-handers and some sort of backdoor backup kind of pitch to lefties.
The 2-1 delivery to Rick Brevner. Seems to be a little bit of a two-seam fastball that broke inside, or excuse me, more towards the plate on the left hand and hitting Rick Brevner. Caught a ball a little bit low, 3-1 count to Brevner. Rossi's next delivery. Brevner smacks it to the left, right-hand side of the field. Second baseman Esteban Molleche makes a nice play. Travels to the left side, gloves that ball, makes a nice throw over to Frank Mormino. Gets the Keystone College Giants out of a bit of trouble here. So no run on no hit. One runner left on base, no errors. We go to the top of the eighth. The score tied, 7-7. Stay tuned here on the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Prescott. We're joined alongside Paul Augustini. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Michael John Stadium. My name is Steve Prescott, joined alongside Paul Augustine. We're here in the top of the eighth inning in a non-conference matchup between Keystone College Giants and your Pennsylvania Quakers. The score is tied 7-7. We'll give you some of those lines here. Keystone College, 7 runs, 13 hits, no errors. Penn Quakers, 7 runs, 5 hits, 2 errors. And as again, as we said, top of the eighth inning, Penn Quakers bring in a new pitcher, number 27, right-hander, freshman pitcher, Cody Thompson.
Yeah, Cody's a freshman from Thousand Oaks, California, and he's making his 10th appearance on this season. He only started 2 games, the rest have been out of the bullpen. He has a 3-2 record, 3.43 ERA in 21 innings pitched. He's given up 22 hits, 10 runs, only 8 of those have been earned. He's only walked 2 while striking out 15 in those 21 innings.
Yeah, Cody Thompson has been a really dependent, reliable pitcher here for Coach John Cole out of the bullpen this season. We've seen Cody Thompson quite a bit the last couple weekends here at Michael John Stadium.
Yeah, Thompson usually serves as the closer here for the Quakers. He does have 2 saves on the season coming in here in the tie game. So, you know, Coach Cole just wants to keep this game close and hope the Quakers to maybe take a lead in the next at bat.
The first hitter he's going to face here today is designated hitter Ricky Espinosa, and Espinosa has yet to be retired here by the Penn defense, because I believe he is 3-for-3 with the walk today. So it behooves Cody Thompson here to make the first out of the inning here on Ricky Espinosa. The first pitch that he delivers to Espinosa is a strike right down the middle, so 0-1 count to the designated hitter from Keystone College, number 24, Ricky Espinosa. Thompson's second pitch, a little bit of a slider there, not much break to it. Nonetheless, it's right down the middle of the pipe. 0-2 count to Ricky Espinosa. Good start here, Cody Thompson, early on, Paul.
Yep, you want him to come out pounding the strike zone in this situation.
Thompson's 0-2 delivery, a fastball high, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, not offered up by Espinosa. 1-2 count.
Wasn't a bad idea to try to climb the ladder there with the 0-2 count.
Thompson, 1-2 delivery, smacked in the right field. It's going to fall just in front of Adrian Lorenzo. He fields that ball, gets it in. So Ricky Espinosa, doing something that he's done all day, he refuses to get out in his at-bats here against the Penn Quakers. Lead-off base runner, that'll bring up Fernando Perez, the third baseman for Keystone College.
Yeah, Espinosa's having a strong game. The Quakers almost retired him last at-bat. That was a tough error that they gave to Figueroa. Could have just as easily been scored a hit if the ball was hit well. That last swing was a bit of a flare to right field, but a good location, so Espinosa. Torres is on base once again.
He's going to be replaced by pinch runner number 5, Anthony Pace. Pace is senior outfielder. Out of Rockville, Maryland. So Fernando Perez up the bat. And Paul, a little bit of a different situation here. Perez looking to bat right-handed. Last time we saw him against a right-handed pitcher, he was in the left-handed batter's box. He attempted to bunt 3 separate times. All 3 times he failed. He was out on strike. Now Perez, again, going to bat from the right-handed side this time. You have to expect that Keystone College is going to want to get that runner over. I would expect a bunt here.
Yeah, I think he's going to bunt too. He didn't look too good trying it left-handed, so now he's going to try right-handed, I think.
Cody Thompson steps off the mound, strictly trying to see if Perez was going to show bunt or not. He does not indicate anything. So again, number 5, Anthony Pace takes the lead off of first. Fernando Perez at the plate, 7-7 game here, top of the 8th inning. Cody Thompson, first pitch, a fastball low and in the dirt. Ball 1.
Yeah, so Espinosa looked like he squared around there, but he pulled back quickly on that low pitch. Excuse me, Perez.
Cody Thompson throws over to first. Pace is back safely. Dan Williams playing just on the edge of the grass there at third base. Obviously expecting a bunt from Fernando Perez. Perez swings at a high fastball, swings right through it. However, stealing second base is Anthony Pace, so that would be why he wasn't showing bump ball. They went with a steal there. They're able to retrieve the bag off of catcher Will Davis. A little bit of a good throw there by Davis, just a little bit late. Derek Rigo applied the tag just as Anthony Pace arrives safely at second base. So runner on second, no outs, 1-1 count to Fernando Perez. Will Davis now going to signal to his infield a couple of different directions.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was a hit run or a straight steal, and Perez just swung and missed at the ball. Pace's first stolen base attempt of the season, but no, he probably has good speed. They bring him in to pinch run.
Pace taking a decent side lead off of second base, and Cody Thompson scares him back in second with no throw. Now Fernando Perez taking a long look down at his third base coach, Larry Yerkinis. Cody Thompson steps. His 1-1 delivery is bunted on by Fernando Perez just behind Will Davis. So a 1-2 count here to Fernando Perez. And Paul, if I'm Coach Jamie Shevchik, I'm not very happy that my third baseman is unable to bunt pretty much all day today.
Looks equally bad at it from the right side of the batter's box as he did from the left side. But I think with 1-2 and nobody else, I'm not sure that I would still have him bunting, especially given the attempts he's taken so far.
A 1-2 count, Cody Thompson anxiously awaits Fernando Perez to step into the box. Perez steps out again. Not sure if the sign's given to him by Larry Yerkinis. Now he's ready. He steps into the box. Cody Thompson, from his stretch, Anthony Pace gets a good size lead off of second base. And the 1-2 pitch. Fastball low and in the dirt. Blocked nicely by catcher Will Davis. So 2-2 count to Fernando Perez.
Yeah, it was a nice block by Davis, so the runner at second could not advance.
Thompson, 2-2 pitch again, low fastball in the dirt, blocked again by Will Davis. So now this count has been drawn up 3-2. So, Paul, I'm going to ask you, is Cody Thompson basically overthrowing these pitches right now? Or do you just see something mechanically just a little bit off?
No, I think he's just trying a little bit too hard, like you said. I think it's more of the overthrow category. I think he just needs to relax. I think he's going to come out with a fastball here on the full count.
3-2 pitch. Fastball right down the middle, just barely cut off there by Fernando Perez. In and out of the glove there of Will Davis. Count remains 3-2.
Yeah, so Perez had a pitch to hit there. He just didn't catch up with it.
Thompson awaits the sign from Will Davis. Perez, impatient with Thompson, steps out of the box, calls for time, and is granted by the home plate umpire. Now he steps in, Anthony Pace taking a good lead off of second base. Thompson steps, and he scares Pace back to second base. Just giving you an idea of where Anthony Pace is. There we go, playing shortstop right now. I would say that Anthony Pace is maybe 5 to 6 feet to the left-hand side of Derek Pagela. Pagela not very deep into the hole there, but nonetheless, a good-sized lead here for Anthony Pace. He's already still in second base. You've got to imagine that Cody Thompson is very anxious. A 3-2 pitch, a slider, called strike three. Throw down the third base on the steal. Anthony Pace is thrown out. Nice throw by Will Davis. Nice tag there by Dan Williams. Strike him out, throw him out. Double play here for the Penn Quakers. Gets him out of a heap of trouble. And now with two outs, that'll bring up number 11, left fielder, Andy Vega.
Yeah, like you always say, Steve, you're not sure that that runner's going to be going anywhere with nobody out. That's the Cardinal sitting there. I mean, technically, I guess he did make the second out of third base because of the strikeout. But
first pitch to Vega is a fast one outside, ball one. My thinking there, Paul, is I don't understand why you feel the need to steal right now with Anthony Pace and his good amount of speed on second base. The only thing that I can really think of is that Jamie Shevchuk is not really confident in the bottom of his lineup, but I can't exactly understand how, as Andy Vegas really hit the cover off the ball today, including a home run, and his number 8 hitter, Edwin Padua, hit a deep ball to center field. So the bottom of the lineup is doing some things, and I know that Frank Lomito has achieved base as well. So I'm a little bit confused by that call, as Cody Thompson's run this count up to 3-0 thus far.
Yeah, that's perplexing. I mean, Vega has been having a good game, like you said, and if anything, maybe they start to move with one out, but with nobody out, you know, what's the worst that happens? Strike out, you still have a runner on second with one out, and a productive hitter come up to the plate. So that's a tough one to figure out there.
Cody Thompson's straight delivery over the plate for a strike, 3-1. He comes back, and he throws a strike, and that's it to Derek Pagela, shortstop. Pagela makes a low throw. Rick Bradner makes a nice dig on the play. Bradner kept that ball in front of him. He didn't have to stretch. He just played that ball from a nice bounce. He keeps it in front of him. Really saves Derek Pagela there. So no runs on one hit. No runners left on the strike and out throw out by Will Davis and Dan Williams. We go to the bottom of the eighth inning. This game is tied 7-7. Keystone College, University of Pennsylvania. We'll be back right here on the Penn Sports Network. Stay tuned. Welcome back here to the Penn Sports Network. My name is Steve Prescott. I'm joined alongside Paul Augustini. Bottom of the eighth inning here is Penn Quakers are tied with Keystone College Giants, 7-7. And folks, we'd like to remind you right now that you can become a fan of Penn Athletics on both Facebook and Twitter and get the latest news on the Quakers and interact with fellow fans. Visit PennAthletics.com to become a friend today. Paul, as we enter into the bottom of the eighth inning, Greg Zebrak would make a lot of friends here if he can get the Quakers on the board. Zebrak, formerly the leadoff hitter here for Coach John Cole and the Penn Quakers. Coach Cole dropped him into the number 7 spot over the weekend, going with Dan Williams going into the second hole and moving Brandon Engelhardt up to the 1 hole. So you're looking for the same things here from Greg Zebrak. He's your leadoff hitter, obviously, for this inning. You just want him to do the same amount of things that he used to do for you in your leadoff hole. You just want him to take some pitches, get on base, make some magic happen. The first pitch he sees here, he offers that with a bunt, gets past him for strike one.
Yeah, he's just got every reverse back to his old leadoff batter tendencies, like you said, leadoff is spinning. I mean, all the Quakers would want here is to push a run across and go into the ninth inning with a one-run lead and already have Thompson on the mound.
Well, he's 0-1 pitch, travels over the inside corner for a strike, so 0-2 count to Zebrak. And Rossi's 0-2 pitch, a spider way outside, trying to get the erected chase at it. Not a bad pitch there by Mike Rossi.
Yeah, that was close. Good job by Zebrak there. Not the offense.
1-2 count. Zebrak looks at a slider just over the outside corner. Perfect pitch by Mike Rossi. Zebrak knew it. As soon as that ball hit the glove, he knew he had a good pitch there. Just didn't offer at it. He looked at strike three. Good start to the inning there by Mike Rossi.
Yeah, no surprise to see Keystone College come back out with Rossi here to start the eighth inning, but off to a good start. Basically has two variations, that slider that breaks away from right-handed hitters and sort of the one that just sort of fades the outside the left-handed hitters, but he doesn't throw much over the middle of the plate, that's for sure.
And brings up Derek Figueroa as Figueroa sees a strike on the outside corner on his first pitch, so 0-1 count to Derek Figueroa, who is 1-for-3 on the day. 0-for-2 on the day. He walked on his first at bat, my apologies. Miguel lays down a bump perfectly down the right-hand sideline. Fernando Perez fields it fair-handed. No throw. So there's Miguel with a beautiful bunt. Lays it right down that third baseline. Fernando Perez fields it fair-handed, not able to make the play. So a one-out base running here by Derek Miguel. Great bunt. Great job of just getting on base.
Yeah, that's not the first time the Quakers have dropped a bunt down the third baseline, but Fernando Perez continues to play fairly deep, and he really had no shot on that one. Like you said, a very well-executed bump by Vigela. Just good speed, not even a throw from Perez.
That brings up Adrian Lorenzo, who on the first pitch that he sees offers a bunt, and that goes foul. So 0-1 counts to the right fielder for the Penn Quakers. Adrian Lorenzo, who is 0-for-2 on the day, who also walked. Lorenzo and G-Back back in the bottom of the sixth inning. Both walked. Both were able to score on one a wild pitch, another a pass ball. A very productive bottom of the sixth inning as that inning tied up the game for the Quakers here, 7-apiece with Keystone College. Lorenzo looking to make a little bit more happen here as the Quakers simply just want to advance the runner, if not get another runner on, just take advantage of the, one-out single by Derek Miguel. Rossi's 0-1 delivery. Lorenzo shows one again. He pulls it back. However, the umpire calls strike 0-2. That pitch looked to be very low ball. Nonetheless, the home plate umpire has final say.
Yeah, that was a borderline pitch, although if you're trying to bunt, that wasn't a bad one to offer at to get the ball on the ground. I'm pretty sure they'll take the bunt off now with two strikes. Lorenzo will swing away.
Those two counts for Lorenzo. He is swinging, or he doesn't swing, however, he doesn't show bunt. That ball is low and in dirt, ball one. The 1-2 count to Adrian Lorenzo, one out. Derek Miguel on first base, and on deck, the leadoff hitter, Brendan Engelhardt. Rossi's 1-2 pitch, outside fastball, but he strike three as Adrian Lorenzo swings right through that pitch. Chased a bad pitch there, ball. That ball was way outside. Lorenzo, I think, expected that to tail back over the plate. Just offers at it weakly, swings right through it. Two outs here. And that brings up Brendan Engelhardt.
Yeah, that's Rossi's one of the two pitches he's shown. That's more of the sort of the backup or backdoor style that doesn't come in, just sort of fades away from the left-handed hitter, so. Good pitch by Rossi.
The first pitch that he throws to Brendan Engelhardt catches maybe the black on the outside corner, nonetheless called a strike by the home plate umpire. 0-1 count to Brendan Engelhardt. Engelhardt 0-for-4 on the day. He's tracked three balls to first baseman Frank Lomino, and his last at bat grounded out to second baseman Esteban Maleche. Engelhardt fouls off the 0-1 offering, so 0-2. The Penn Quakers, freshman, second baseman.
Maybe that's a blessing in disguise, man. We'll just be in a defensive mode. Maybe he can flat something the other way.
Rossi's 0-2 pitch, a fastball outside. Engelhardt does not chase after, so a 1-2 count to the Quakers, second baseman. Derek Vergella takes the lead off of first base. Engelhardt. That pitch is inside. It bounces off of the shin guard of catcher Brian Henry, and advancing up to second base is Derek Miguel. So the Quakers now fall threatening. Two outs, runner on second base. Brendan Engelhardt evens his count up to two apiece. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Quakers are threatening.
Yeah, it almost looked like that one got a piece of Engelhardt. I guess not. It was just missed his back foot there in the batter's box. But Brian Henry was not able to control it. Got it far enough away that Miguel advanced. Good heads up base running by Derek.
Mike Rossi, the pitcher on the mound. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Brendan Engelhardt, batter at the plate. He fouls one that bounces off of somebody in the Penn dugout there. It's very dangerous there. Hopefully everybody's okay. Brendan Engelhardt not making any friends with that at bat there.
Yeah, as we said, great sight lines here at Michael John Stadium. The stadium's real close to the field, and they have that protective netting for everybody but the two dugouts.
And count stays in 2-2. Englehart smacks one. It's going to bounce off of first baseman Frank Mormino. That is going to score Derek Fagoa. Penn Quakers taking an 8-7 lead. Brendan Englehart did exactly what he was trying to do. He just puts the ball on the ground. Has the Keystone College fielders trying to make a play on it. Unsuccessful was Frank Mormino. I believe they're going to call that a single for Brendan Englehart. I think he would have been safe on that play anyway. Nonetheless, Penn Quakers, most importantly, take an 8-7 lead ball.
Yeah, that's the first. It won't succeed. Englehart, that's the fifth time he hit the ball on the right side of the infield. Finally got one through there. Looks like they are going to give him a hit. And I guess he's going to get the RBI to run a score from second base.
That brings up Dan Williams, the Penn Quakers third baseman. Englehart takes his lead off of first. He is now traveling to second base. Brian Henry with a nice throw down to second. A little bit high. Second baseman Esteban Meleche takes the throw. Just a little high. Head first by there by Brendan Englehart. I'll tell you what. Well, if that was a good throw by Brian Henry, he had Brendan Englehart out by about two steps.
Yeah, I think so. And as we noted earlier, Rossi does not throw that hard, and he really doesn't move that quickly to the plate. So that's on base, I think, is on the pitcher.
The 0-1 delivery, that first pitch was called a strike. 0-1 delivery is called a ball. So 1-1 count here to Dan Williams, the senior third baseman for the Penn Quakers, who was 1-for-4 on the day. Rossi's 1-1 pitch is low, 2-1 to Dan Williams.
Now with that runner at second base, it looks like Rossi has gone more to a slide step on his delivery to the plate. I don't know, with two outs, I don't think I do worry too much about the runner on second base. I just focus on the hitter, Tyler Rossi, but...
Rossi steps off the mound, scaring Brendan Englehart back to second base. So we'll recap this game for you. Two balls, one strike, two outs. The Penn Quakers now lead the Keystone College Giants 8-7 here in the bottom of the eighth inning and are threatening for more runs as Mike Rossi throws another ball here to Dan Williams. 3-1 count to the Penn Quakers senior third baseman Dan Williams out of Southampton, New Jersey.
I know that's an important insurance run down second base, but if Rossi gets too concerned with him, he's going to lose the hitter.
He battles back and throws strike two there. A fastball and look Cal back over the center of the plate. So full count here to Dan Williams. Mike Rossi, a good job battling back here. This is a very, very important pitch here. Could spell momentum for either team here going into the ninth inning. A pitch down back over the plate. Williams just at the shortstop. Edwin Padua. Padua throws over to first baseman Frank Mormino. They acquire the out. So one run on, I believe, one hit. No errors. One runner left on base. Most importantly, the Penn Quakers found one at the top of this ninth inning here against Keystone College. Now with a one-run lead. 8-7. Stay tuned. We'll bring you the top of the ninth inning here on the Penn Sports Network. We thank you for joining us. Stay tuned. We welcome you back here to Michael John Stadium, beautiful home of the Penn Quakers baseball team. The Penn Quakers now lead the Keystone College Giants 8-7 here in the top of the ninth inning. The first batter that Cody Thompson will face in his second inning of work is shortstop Edwin Padua. First pitch Padua sees is a slider high, ball one. Padua is 2-for-4 on the day, a single and a double. Cody Thompson's 1-0 delivery. Fastball right down the middle. That's ducked in the center field, shallow center field. Greg Zebrak makes the sliding catch. Great catch there by Greg Zebrak. He slid feet first in the center field. He makes the catch and makes a huge out here for the first out of the inning. Gives Cody Thompson a lot of relief there. As if that ball had fallen in front of Greg Zebrak, that either was going to just be a harmless single or a really dangerous extra base hit ball.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't think Zebrak sort of double pumped on his start on that ball. Padua got tied up a little bit. Good pitch by Thompson, and Zebrak had to get into an extra gear to get to that ball in time, but he made a nice sliding catch.
Scheduled to bat next was Frank Molino. He's going to be replaced in the lineup by number 3 senior infielder Lance Ratchford. Paul, what can you tell us about Lance?
Ratchford's played in most of the games this year. He's gotten into 15 games so far. Has a .278 batting average. He scored 6 runs. Has hit a home run. He has 5 RBIs.
The first pitch that Ratchford feeds is a fastball down the middle, strike 1. Thompson receives the ball from catcher Will Davis, and he delivers a ball 1, so that'll even count out at 1-1. Ratchford's a right-handed hitter. Cody Thompson, right-handed pitcher. And the 1-1 delivery from Thompson bounces off the netting down the right field sideline. Adrian Lorenzo makes the catch. The umpires are not going to give him back all that time, and that'll make the count 1-2. If you're just joining us earlier on in the game, Esteban Meleche hit a fly ball from the netting down the first base side that the umpires did not see if whether or not it had caught the netting, and Rick Bregman made the catch and then was called an out. Ratchford, the 1-2 pitch. Hits it weakly, cues it down the first baseline. Pitcher Cody Thompson makes the play, throws over to first baseman Rick Bregman. Two outs here for the Quakers. Nice play. Cody Thompson didn't have a lot of time. Ratchford looked to be a quick runner. Thompson makes an underhanded throw to Rick Bremner. Two quick outs here for the Quakers. One more, and they'll retire the side here and also fire this win here in the top of the ninth inning.
Yeah, real nice play there by Thompson. That was a ball hit in his feet. Good hands there, good footwork. He field the ball cleanly, but to the first base.
Now, Cody Thompson will face off here against second baseman Meleche. Thompson's first pitch is ball. His second pitch is a fastball in the inside corner, strike 1. So 1-1 count here to Esteban Meleche. Thompson gets his time from catcher Will Davis. He delivers. Meleche hits one foul off the netting down the right field line. Not sure if that ever came back into play there, Paul.
Expecting a few ricochet there, and it never came back into our field of vision, so I'm not sure where that ball ended up.
Well, 1-2 count to Esteban Meleche. Two outs here, although the scoreboard here at Michael John Stadium does not read as much. Cody Thompson points to delivery fastball high. Looks to be a good pitch trying to get Meleche to cheese. He does not, and he even counted out at 2-2.
Yeah, all Esteban wants to do here is get on base, put that tying run on base, and see what can happen.
Cody Thompson's 2-2 pitch. Hit back up the middle, Brendan Engelhardt makes nice backhand of play, bounces just out of his glove. He's able to make a play on that. I don't know how they're going to spur that ball, but that was going to be a very tough play for Brendan Engelhardt. He had to go to his right side. He tried to backhand that ball. It just hits right off of his glove and dropped out. Esteban Meleche, a very speedy runner, and they've already called that a hit, so they put a hit up on the board. Nothing Brendan Engelhardt really did wrong there. He tried to make the best play he could, unable to. And Keystone College now has a two-out base runner on first base with their number 2 hitter, Andrew Ciano, stepping into the box.
Yeah, it was going to be a tough play for Engelhardt, even if he had fielded it cleanly, like you said, and let they can run. But once that popped out of his glove, then it was all over.
The first pitch to Andrew Ciano is a fastball on the outside corner. Strike 1. Ciano looking down at his third base coach, Larry Yerkinis, for his sign. He steps into the box. Cody Thompson peers over at Esteban Meleche at first. He delivers a fastball. And that is down to the netting here on the first base side, just over top the dugout to Keystone College. And very quickly, Andrew Ciano is in 0-2 count to pitcher Cody Thompson.
Yeah, now down 0-2. Well, let's say 6-for-7 on stolen base attempts for the year. I'm not sure he might think about running now.
Cody Thompson's 0-2 delivery, a fastball high, so count is now 1-2. Andrew Siano, the right-handed hitter. Cody Thompson, right-handed pitcher. Esteban Meleche, the Keystone College second baseman, takes his lead off of first base with Bradman holding him on slightly. Cody Thompson waits for his sign. He has it, and he works from the stretch. His pitch, again, fouled off by Andrew Siano. Not a bad at bat here by Siano. He's staying defensive, he's staying alive. Most importantly, counting needs, 1-2, Paul.
Yeah, that's all he wants to do once he got buried in the count, is just foul off pitches. Try to keep this at bat alive. You never know what will happen. He can put the ball on play with the speedy runner on first base.
Cody Thompson awaiting his turn. Now he has it. He sets. And the pitch. High strike. Strike three. Strike him out. A check swing there by Andrew Siano. He wasn't too certain that he wanted to swing. Nonetheless, a check swing. Strike three. This game is over, Paul. Great, I guess you can call it a come-from-behind victory for the Penn Quakers. They score early, they score often, but most importantly, they scored the last run of the ballgame to win this one, 8-7, in a tough contest here over the Keystone College Giants.
Yeah, that was a tough way to go out for Siano. He was having a good at-bat. Like you said, he just couldn't hold himself up on that last swing. The check swing foul tipped, and a nice play by Will Davis to hold on to the ball for the Quakers' win, but give a lot of credit to the Keystone College Giants. They came in here to Michael John Stadium today, got off to a bit of a rocky start, but then they made a strong, solid comeback. Well-played game by the Keystone College Giants, I think, today.
So Cody Thompson will earn the win. Mike Rossi will earn the loss. More importantly, that gives the Penn Quakers a record of 13-10, Keystone College, a record of 11-8. Paul and I will be right back to recap this ballgame and also have you look forward to this weekend's Ivy League matchups. Stay tuned. You're here on the Penn Sports Network. Welcome back here to the Penn Sports Network as we recap the end of this ballgame. The Penn Quakers defeating the Keystone College Giants here today, Paul, by a score of 8-7. The Penn Quakers jump out to an early 4-0 lead. They were up on the Giants 5-2. The Giants took over the lead with a 5-run fifth inning to take the lead at 7-5. The Quakers used a pass ball, a wild pitch, and 3 walks in the bottom of the sixth to even up the score at 7-7. And then on the bottom of that eighth inning, they just used a little bit of miscues there by the defense of the Keystone College Giants to score the final and winning run to, again, win this game 8-7, a big win here for the Penn Quakers.
Yeah, like you said, Steve, I think the bottom of the sixth inning was pivotal for the decision of the game when the Quakers were able to score 2 runs on no hit to tie the game up. I think that was a real momentum shift. The first time in the game, really, since maybe the first inning, that Keystone College was a little shaky. But they played well all in all today. They took advantage of their opportunities in their half of the fifth to put 5 runs on the board. So, all in all, the Quakers thought they were just going to get an easy walkthrough in the middle of the week. That's certainly not how it turned out.
Yeah, a great show here by the Keystone College Giants. They really took it to the Penn Quakers. Keystone College, a Division III school. The Penn Quakers, obviously, Division I. Quakers earn a nice victory here. It's going to bring their record to 13-10. Obviously, a non-conference game or a non-Ivy League game, but a much important game as the Quakers head into their Ivy League schedule this weekend. Paul, you know who they play this weekend. What do the Quakers need to do to not only win at Yale on Saturday, but Brown on Sunday? What are some of the keys for the Quakers heading into this Ivy League weekend?
Well, as you've seen over the weekend series that you've done, when they get good starting pitching, they're tough to beat, and they've gotten some really good starting pitching this season, as well as they took the ball in some of the second halves of the doubleheaders. I think it's important that they get good starting efforts in the first game of each of the 2 doubleheaders, the 7-inning games, and it just seems like the pressure's off when you win that first game of the doubleheader. You can relax, get some swings in for the position players, and then you just really start playing with house money in those second halves of the doubleheader.
Well, for Paul Augustini, I'm Steve Prescott. Again, a recap today. The Penn Quakers defeat the Keystone College Sharks by a score of 8-7. Penn Quakers will be returning back home to Michael Johns Stadium the weekend of April 16th and 17th to play two doubleheaders, one on Saturday, one on Sunday of that weekend, both being against the Princeton Tigers. Stay tuned here to the Penn Sports Network, as we will bring you those games live. Again, Mr. Paul Augustini, my name is Steve Prescott. We're signing off here from the Penn Sports Network. Good game. Go Quakers. Have a great night. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.